is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Automatic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal. And you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
Is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. Oh, yeah, you need to get to me. Oh, yeah, we have much, much, much to talk about. Didn't I say yesterday that it was going to be an interesting road, this presidential campaign? It's going to be an interesting road. It's going to be the road, let's see, is it the road less traveled? Or is it the road that is has been traveled before? Let me make it plain for you. Senator Joseph Biden plowed right into the presidential campaign. He said, I'm not going to form a campaign search committee. I'm not going to an exploratory committee. Nope, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm telling you I'm running for the presidency. And then he showed us again what he's about. He said, and I quote, Barack Obama is the first African American to run for the presidency who's articulate, who's clean, huh? The first African American to run for the presidency that's articulate, that's clean? Gwendolyn Brooks? Jesse Jackson? Carol Moseley Braun? Oh, we need to talk about what that means. We need to talk about what that means. Oh, yeah. Stay with me.
Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Lord, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. I don't know. I don't know. There is such a resistance to the discussion of race in this country. And I understand that there is discomfort in that. Nobody likes to explore. You know, many people have a resistance to figuring themselves out, period. whether it's figuring themselves out about why they eat the way they eat, why they hang out with who they hang out with, why they treat their family like they do. I mean, people, introspection is not something that is pushed in our culture. We're not urged to think it through, not in a country and a culture that depends upon us to spend our money in order for it to survive. I mean, think about it. Why would our culture, that includes government, that includes institutions, that includes where you are when you are there, that's our culture. The economy in this country depends upon us spending our money. We must buy in order for our economy to grow, to survive. The more we buy, the more our economy percolates along. How do they get us to buy? They tell us that Spam is hamburger. They tell us that there's really a difference between toilet papers, that dishwashing liquid, and this is the most, to me, obscene, that dishwashing liquid makes your hands softer. You know, there's so much twisted sexism up in that, I don't even know where to begin. Oh, yeah, baby, stay in the kitchen, wash those dishes, because it makes your hands look better. Huh? Huh? We live in a culture that tells us all kinds of things to make us buy all kinds of things. So if we begin to examine, read the labels of the stuff that we're buying, think about the fact that a can of soda has 35 teaspoons of sugar in it. If we think about that and think about that, maybe we would stop drinking so much soda, but they don't want us to think about our choices. We are not encouraged as a culture. That is not to say that individuals cannot and should not do what needs to be done to get to the place of thinking. But that's not to say that. You know, I mean, they would have us believe that drinking that stuff makes us skinny, makes our bodies nice and taut and hard, no cavities, perfect teeth, not teeth stained from all of the caffeine that you're drinking down. I've never seen so many people with pearly whites drinking all kinds of coffee in my life. Baby, that's not what coffee does for your mouth. But if we began this introspection, we would make a lot of different choices, but we live in a culture that does not encourage us to do so. Because they sure couldn't get us to buy the stuff. I mean, have you read the label of what is in Spam? Have you been to a slaughtering farm? Have you seen how chickens are really killed? Y'all wouldn't need none of that stuff if you knew. You know? You don't have to go far to get to a slaughterhouse. All you got to do is, you can even take a bus or the Metrolink over to the slaughtering houses. So we could know if we wanted to know, but it's too hard to know. We think that it is too hard to know. I want to keep eating Cheetos. I don't care how much fat is in them. I don't care that they're empty calories. I want to keep drinking dozens and dozens of teaspoons of sugar. I looked at this one of those things of, what was it, Jolly Ranchers juice in those huge bottles. And I almost passed, it wasn't mine, I was just passing by and I looked at the label and there was enough sugar in there to bake 4 dozen brownies. It's ridiculous. So having said that, if it's too difficult for us, or if people are culturally taught to be resistant to even read the label of the stuff that they're putting into their own body, what does our culture tell us about whether or not you should be looking inside of yourself to see how you really feel about race? You think there are a few barriers put up there too? And one of the biggest barriers is that there is no race problem. You don't have to think about nothing when you say that there's no problem. I haven't gained any weight. Think about it. You put up barriers, you never have to think about it. And culturally, they put up barriers. I mean, I'm seeing clothing stores. I saw a new, it's at the Galleria. There's a new shop for young women, sizes 18 and above. Young women. Young women. They're making car seats. Straddle loungers, chairs bigger to accommodate our bigger behinds. People don't want to think. And we have a society that doesn't encourage us to do so. Should young girls that are large feel good about themselves and the things that they wear? Yeah, I've got no problem with that. But the real question is why are our babies so big? I've seen commercials. If you notice it, start paying attention to commercials. We're starting to see chubby kids in commercials. And not as objects of scorn, not as objects of ridicule, not as trying to show the compare and contrast, but as normal. Normal. And I'm not talking about little chubby 1-year-olds. I'm talking about 12-year-old kids. We don't think. Our culture, no. I take that back. Many of us do think. Our culture encourages us not to think and be introspective. So when it comes to race, we are ill-prepared as a culture. This culture is ill-prepared to travel down that thorny road. And I guess that's why I'm here. Because I'm going to pull you down this road whether you want to come or not. Because we need to deconstruct what Joseph Biden said. Because his comments are no different than. He said Obama's clean. It's so nice to have a clean black person. Sweetie, we're talking about politicians. None of y'all are clean. Some of you just haven't been caught. Articulate. What, Carol Moseley Braun is a lawyer. You ain't even a lawyer. But she's not articulate. Gwendolyn Brooks, she's not articulate. Jesse Jackson, he's not articulate. Al Sharpton, he's not articulate. No, there's racism up under that. A lot of racism up under that. A lot. Oh, let the presidential games begin, y'all. His first statement out of his box. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic. A lot going on here. Northbound 55 between Jefferson and St. Genevieve County line all the way into Route M, which is exit 185. Look for a nice build-up caution. Multiple accidents in that area. All lanes are blocked at Highway 6167. Southbound 55 from Route M to 67. Look for a nice build-up as well. Multiple accidents there. Use extreme caution. And you've got stop traffic in both areas. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. Stop and go traffic due to ice buildup, so use caution. Westbound 40 between Van Deventer and Boyle. Look for an accident right at Boyle, and there's stop traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Science Center and Kings Highway. An accident left lane at Kings Highway. You've got stop traffic there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for very slow traffic due to ice buildup. Eastbound 44 from Sappington through Berry Road. Look for delays due to accidents in left lane near Berry exit. And so you've got some stop traffic going on. And westbound 70 from Salisbury through Grand. There's ice buildup. An earlier accident in Grand is causing some slowdowns as well. 364 eastbound at Creepcourt Mill. Look for some delays there. Northeastbound 270 from Bell Fountain through Lilac. There's an accident that's been cleared, but there's still icy patches, so you've got some slowdowns there. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight. Look for that accident that's been cleared, but there's icy patches at McKnight. Northbound 270 at 44 through Doherty Ferry. Look for slowdowns due to icy passages going on there. Westbound King Bridge from the 5570 split into the landing. Very slow traffic this morning. Westbound 270 at 367 and West Florissant. Ice buildup passable with care. And eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79. There's icy patches. Eastbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through 367. There's an accident that's been cleared. It's on the ramp to northbound 367 now. Just a lot of stuff going on. You need to slow down and take your time. Give yourself some extra time to get to work. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. 30% chance of snow showers this morning and flurries this afternoon. Highs in the lower 30s this evening, cloudy with a low in mid-20s. Friday, 20% chance of flurries, high in the upper 20s. And then Friday evening, partly cloudy, low around 15. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-20s. Currently, we've got 22 degrees. Cloudy conditions, Lambert Fields reporting 21. Wind chill makes it feel like it's 15. Bundle up if you're headed outside. And like I said, give yourself some extra time on your travel to work. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Stay tuned for more news, traffic, and weather at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, more of the award-winning Wake Up Call, Riveting Radio, with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Do you feel confident about your money? If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member NASD SIPC. David Gaines, representative, Heartland Bank and Securities America are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Minister Rogers, host of Radio UFO. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests. I've had UFO investigator and coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Dennis Balthaser. I've had Sam Marantos, director of the Illinois Mutual UFO Network, and Felix Clairvoyant with the Raelia Movement, the scientific organization that was involved in the first human clone. Tune in every Friday and Saturday night at midnight and listen to more Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations on AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Mm-hmm. Welcome, welcome, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Don't forget, my goodness gracious, do not forget that we have Eye on the Lou coming up in the next hour, and we have a breaking story, a couple of breaking stories, actually, that you haven't heard anywhere else. One of them about a racist statement made by a person in the that works in the city of St. Louis. Oh, yeah. We're not done here yet with racism 101. That's why I'm talking about Joseph Biden's statements. We have that coming up in Eye on the Lou in just a few minutes. My goodness gracious, we have a lot of things to talk about today. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. There's much business to tend to. Whew. Joseph Biden called Barack Obama a storybook candidate. He's articulate. He's the first articulate, bright, and clean. Our first black person that's articulate. The first black person that's bright. The first black person that's clean to run for the United States presidency. Well, I guess my question is when are we going to get the first white one? Now, wouldn't that be a horrible thing to say? Wouldn't that be a horrible thing to say and mean? Huh. The first articulate, the first bright. So I guess Shirley Chisholm is stupid, was stupid. I guess Shirley Chisholm, unbought and unbossed, was not clean. I guess Shirley Chisholm was not articulate. I guess she wasn't. Well, clearly we know she's not the first, because now that we have Barack Obama, he's the first. He's the first. The first one. Oh, lordy, lordy, thank you, says Joe Biden. We finally have the first. You don't think that's racist? And you know, and here's the thing. You got to look at, you know, when you... since people are so resistant to do their own self-analysis, we're forced to have to do it the same. Because if that is your assessment of the first, how do you see black folks? How do you see African people? And how do I determine, how does one determine whether or not this was a racist statement? Since people don't do their own many people don't do introspection. Let me just take you back to history. I'm not going back 100 years. I'm not going back 100 years. I'm going to go back to, this summer, Joe Biden said, now remember, Joe Biden was in Delaware. And the largest growth of population are Indian Americans moving from India to Delaware. And Joe Biden said, you cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking. Huh? And he was sitting down, kicking back. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking. So what do you think this son of a gun says when he's with his boys? What is his world view of people? Just think about how comfortable this dude is with his stuff. He said with cameras there. This is all. If you want the link to this, all you got to do is email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. This is on audio. I'm not reading this. This is on audio. You cannot go into a 7-Eleven or Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking here. This man wants to be president. And then he says, thank God. We have our first African. We have our first clean. We have our first bright. We have our first articulate black person running for this office. Now, let me just throw something out here. Is he saying this about Barack Obama's, because his mother, Barack Obama's mother is white? Is that what helps with the articulate? If that's what helps with the bright? Is that what helps with the clean? Is that why he said that? Vernon.
Yes, good. Well, you know, you beat me to my punch.
I'm sorry. There is a rule of no beating one to the punch, so I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay, here's a quick question for you. Now, a lot of people don't stop to realize this, but if you think about our history, the way we're taught it, black man haven't accomplished too much. A lot of people would be surprised at the number of things black intelligent men and women have invented and created that white people are using today and aren't aware of it.
Have you ever been in an elevator?
Elevator? How about the plasma out of blood?
There you go.
Hey, well, let me get you on this back on the brain intelligence. Now, every time a black person does something, the first thing they do a color thing into it if it's black, right? Now, here's the question. You haven't heard one solitary soul say that Bush is a white, unarticulate person. You haven't heard anybody say Bush is a white, unintelligent person. Yes, have you?
I think that you raise a very, very good observation. You make a very good observation. When you hear people assessing, when you hear people in positions like Joe Biden has as a United States Senator running for the Congress, he doesn't describe George Bush as white.
Right.
And he certainly doesn't talk about, we know that George Bush is dumb. We know he's dumb. We know that he's not articulate. We know that he is not clean. We know all of those things. But you don't hear anybody addressing him, assessing him in terms of his color.
Anytime a black person does something, like you take the Super Bowl, now all they're talking about is black head coach. But now don't you know that anytime the white coach does something, oh, he's great, he had a tremendous season, and all blah, 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 blah. But now all you hear, well, he's black coach, and they even give you the history on it. Don't say he won this many games, he had this number people on the team, or anything. But that's the culture of the United States. Now, if we as people, really, as a whole collection of people, if black people history were in the history book today, this world would be a whole lot better off. Because a lot of them grew up and have grown up thinking black people are stupid, ignorant, dirty, filthy, nasty, and everything else. Because, number one, a black man do something wrong, he's on the front page of everybody's paper.
Well, wait a minute. Or they put the wrong picture and they grab the it's about Bowman. All right, got to roll. They grab any old picture. Any old picture. Throw it up in there. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. To the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything, a single thing you need to make your house a home. Get on down to Sears. They have it all. Great deals, great customer service, great location. Do your shopping at Sears. It's right here in our city, and you're supporting the Sears in the city. So get on over to Sears and tell them I told you to.
Every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Aldermanic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal. And you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call. Wake Up Call. Liz Brown.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of the hill on that ladder of success.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up or get to me. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Good. I agree with you on the racism thing, but I think it's kind of racism that would blast old politicians out of non-presidential hopes to jump in the race because Obama and Hillary and a million others are in it. But I think...
Wait a minute. Slow down just for a second. I don't understand what you said. Explain that to me.
What I'm saying is that... he was trying to get back at Obama in his personal racism. He wanted to say, how dare this young whippersnapper come on the scene, and I've been sitting here all these years from when I had my little tragedy in the press, and I'm going to run now against him. But then he started naming all his virtues, like he's intelligent, he's clean.
Gotcha.
Like, how am I really going to win against him? I think that's what he was saying rather than a nationalistic, although the nationalistic is there if the personal comes out.
Gotcha.
So I think that's what was going on, and the government could have saved a lot of money finding out about whether we should have gone to war, because more than half of African Americans said it was a useless venture.
All you had to do was listen.
That's it.
That's right.
And that's why he let Katrina happen, because nobody loves if they hate the truth if they're wrong, and they hate anybody that told them the truth. So that's what this is about.
Ask Cynthia McKinney.
We know.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. My name is Liz Brown. Get to me. Zenobia.
Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are
Good
you?
Good morning, St. Louis. I just wanted to touch bases with you because I hadn't heard you mention, maybe I kind of missed it, the Serena game in Australia opening. Did you see that game with Maria and Serena?
I did not see the game, no.
Oh, you know what? I thought that. I said, Liz must not have seen that because I haven't heard her mention it. It was a dynamic game. I mean, and the media, true to their form, you know, they try to throw in disparaging remarks about Serena being out of shape and a little too heavy and all kinds of comments and how about her attitude. But she was beautiful. She played a very awesome game.
All right.
I mean, she put her in her place. The number one tennis position.
Ouch.
She brought down. She was from 81. And she just defies their logic and their reason. You know, she doesn't approach things the way that they would want her to approach things. And particularly, you know, trying to say that she's not that interested in tennis. She's got her other, her fashion and her other life. You know, she's not dedicated to the game. She came back and showed them. You know, last night I was watching a documentary on Muhammad Ali, and it kind of brought me back to that concept, you know, of the same thing that they are doing now to black sports stars, you know, to bring them down a notch, but they keep on going. That was a game. If it is taped and replayed, don't miss it.
All right.
But you will really sit on your edge. I mean, from the moment of the game, from the first couple of sets, she set the pace. She let them know, I am going to put you in your place, and I am going to beat you.
Thank you,
it was really beautiful. So I didn't think you had saw that.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Well, y'all, everyone have a beautiful day. Be careful out there. There's a little snow on the ground, and I'll see you Saturday. Okay.
Okay. Take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, number one, fabulous Liz Brown.
Mr. Davis, good morning.
Teach, Liz. Teach. That's about all I can say about you. Is teach. That's the very reason why it's so important for people to know their own history. I belong to an organization. It's called ASCAC. ASCAC is the synonym. It stands for the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. Boy, to know our black history, and it's coming up starting today, is just fantastic. It makes you stand so tall, Liz, to know your black history. Fantastic. The first in almost anything and everything you can think of, you know. And I do not have to take and criticize anyone because I know my history and I know how strong our people are. See, I do not have to take and criticize anyone. Can you get that?
Yes, I can.
Because I know what I am and what how my strength is, see, and that. When you take and, I got so many things in mind, Liz, it's just fantastic. I do not wear white shirts and ties because I wear my African clothes. Because I know that anything and everything almost came from Africa. Do you know they haven't figured out yet how the pyramids were actually built?
That's bad.
So they want to take and throw something else in there. The first college, Liz, was in Africa. See? The first college. Aristotle and Socrates has a book out that tells you that they went to Africa to get their education.
Fact.
See, Columbus discovered America. There's a book out that's called They Came Before Columbus. They Came Before Columbus, written by Dr. Ivan Van... No. Yeah,
Ivan Van Sertima. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Where Africans had been coming over into this part of the world for over 150 years before Columbus. Now, can you imagine that? And then they want to put in a book that Columbus did it.
There you go.
So that just goes to show you how important it is to know your black history. Oh, I stand tall against almost anyone, Liz, because I know my history.
All right, Mr.
All
Davis.
All right, then, Liz.
Thank you so much.
You're fantastic.
Thank you. You take care now.
You also.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. In the next hour, of course, we have I on the Loop. And, of course, we have Justice for Reggie in the 8 o'clock hour. On Friday, we're going to have a full day. We're going to be talking to writer, author, columnist, David Zirin. He's going to be talking about the two black coaches going to the NFL. He's going to be talking about a lawsuit threatened by Johnny Cochran on this very issue of coaches in the NFL. We're going to be talking about that, and then we're going to showcase our very first edition of Wellness 101 with Dr. Rosa Kincaid, holistic living, alternative living. Talk to you. I've talked about by MD. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to attend to. And you don't want to miss the breaking story in that we're going to be sharing with you on Eye on the Loo. Eye on the Loo. You don't want to miss it. 1-877-920-WGNU. Also, we're going to be talking about an open house for Lewis Reed, the president of the Board of Aldermen. We're going to be talking about a panel discussion on education. We all need to be at this one after what we did on Tuesday. On Saturday at the church there, we're going to talk about also I need to talk to you about this, a speech that I'm going to be giving on education at the Julia Davis Library, not next week, but the following week. So you need to stay with us in the next hour. We have much business to tend to and much business to bring to you. How about this? I guess this story needs to be in the, tell me something I didn't know. Tell me something I didn't conclude. Training the police is important, obviously, in Iraq. But the United States has botched the training. According to a report authored by a couple of men, the former Attorney General, one of them being the former Attorney General Edwin Meese, the United States erred in training the police by first assigning the task of shaping the judiciary in a largely lawless country. They gave off that responsibility to private contractors. Now, who didn't know that that wouldn't work? My name is Liz Brown. Oh, my goodness, we have much business to tend to. I and the Lou is right after this. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
More and more people who need help but can't find it.
struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Was it an act of terrorism? It was more like a terrible joke if you ask Massachusetts officials about a series of illuminated signs placed all over Boston yesterday.
The good news is that no one was harmed, and in fact, this was a hoax.
That's the state's Attorney General Martha Coakley on an advertising gimmick for our cable TV show that shut down roads, bridges, and part of the Charles River for hours. The two guys police say behind it are due in court today.
A marketing firm here in New York arranged the publicity campaign for Cartoon Network's Aqua Teen Hunger Force, a show about a talking milkshake, a meatball, and other fast food. Blinking signs featured a dated video game character flipping the bird to passersby. Those under 30 knew instantly what they were, but an apparently older subway worker, less attuned to guerrilla marketing and adult cartoons, thought they were threatening and called police.
It's ABC's Aaron Katursky. It took the House a few hours to vote to raise the minimum wage. The Senate's taken a few weeks to get to the point where it could give its own version of a bill to raise it the thumbs up. That could happen today. Then that version will have to be reconciled with the House's. We're learning more about an alleged terror plot. British officials say they stopped this week in the nick of time.
9 men remain in custody and police continue their search in connection with what security sources say was a plot to kidnap and kill a British Muslim soldier. This was, according to one police source, Baghdad come to Birmingham. The belief is the alleged plot involved videoing the soldier dressed up in an orange jumpsuit like that worn by Ken Bigley, the Briton kidnapped and beheaded in Baghdad in 2004. His execution would be posted on the internet. According to sources, the Birmingham gang had drawn up a hit list of Muslim soldiers who'd served in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
The Maytag repairman is finally going to be busy. The company is recalling 2.5 million dishwashers due to a fire hazard. The Maytag and Gen Air models are linked to 4 injuries because of a short in the internal wiring. This is ABC News. Hello?
Awful night.
Jeff?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix pantoprazole sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms, too?
Yep. Even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you. Well, this probably wasn't the way Joe Biden wanted to kick off his presidential campaign, apologizing and trying to clarify some comments he made about a challenger for the Democratic nomination, Senator Barack Obama. The Delaware senator found himself in the hot seat on Comedy Central's Daily Show with Jon Stewart yesterday.
I spoke to Barack today.
I bet you did.
I also spoke to Jesse and Al Sharpton and Michael Jordan and anybody you could get your hands on.
Biden referred to Obama as being the first mainstream African-American candidate, among other things. We can't make spring temperatures arrive any sooner where you are, but Congress is doing something to make the days a little longer earlier in the year. It's actually passed this bill a few months ago that pushes daylight saving time up a bit. Now we'll set our clocks back on March 11th. Now the reason we're telling you this is to give you plenty of time to reset some of your older appliances like your computer, which may still be programmed with the old date, which would have been in April. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the mayor of Overland is suing the St. Louis County Election Board. Ann Persner requested a temporary restraining order, claiming there is no legal basis for the efforts to recall her from office. Persner says the election is illegal because the city council failed to pass an ordinance approving it. She also claims she did not commit misconduct, is not incompetent, and did not fail to perform her duties. Under state law, one of those three issues must occur for a recall election to be approved. The trial for an accused teacher has been delayed. During a court hearing yesterday, a judge pushed back the trial for Sam Shelton until late July. Shelton's attorneys want to hire an expert to determine why there are gaps in Shelton's videotaped statements to police. Prosecutors say that the videotape ran out during the interrogation. Shelton is charged with attacking 17-year-old Ashley Reeves in April of last year and leaving her for dead in a park. Shelton has pleaded not guilty to one count of attempted murder. Finally this hour, a new Mississippi River Bridge may not be built. A report by a panel of national transportation experts says that the bridge plans will go away unless a decision is made soon on how to fund the project. Missouri and Illinois have been deadlocked for 18 months over the funding issue. The report says the states must agree on how to pay for more lanes between St. Louis and the Metro East or risk losing the $239 million that Congress has set aside for a new crossing. The report did not offer solutions. This WGNU News report is sponsored by Candy Bouquet at 620 North Skinker. For a bear hug this Valentine's Day, send the Teddy Bear Valentine gift basket from Candy Bouquet. Call 314-863-CANDY or visit candybouquet.com for a location near you. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather. A lot of traffic problems going on. Eastbound 40 between Watson and Berry. Look for two left lanes blocked, an accident, and that's near Berry exit. Eastbound 70 from Adelaide through Grand. Look for our stop-and-go traffic due to an accident at Grand. Expect some delays there. Southbound 55 at Route M all the way to 67. Ice buildup caution. Multiple accidents in that area, so expect stop traffic. Northbound 55 between Jefferson and St. Genevieve County line all the way into Route M. Look for the same conditions going on there. Icy buildup, caution, multiple accidents, so expect stop traffic. Westbound 40 for stop-and-go traffic from Hampton through Hanley. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 on the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect very slow traffic due to icy patches going on there. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason. Look for delays due to icy buildup, so use caution there. Westbound 64 from 25th onto the 5570 merge. You've got ice buildup passable, but only with care, so just slow down and give yourself a break. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry. Look for icy patches, making slowdowns going on. Westbound 5570 from 55 split into the landing is slow because of the ice on the bridges. Eastbound 44 between Daimler all the way into 270. Look for slowdowns around the 270 interchange as you're trying to exit onto 270. Northbound Route 3 onto the Monsanto Bridge. From Monsanto to the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for icy patches creating some problems there. Eastbound 270 from Bell Fountain through Lilac. Look for an accident that's been cleared, but there are some delays. There's lots of ice buildup around in and around the area, so just use caution. Give yourself plenty of time to get to work and slow down. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. 30% chance of snow showers this morning. Flurries this afternoon. High in the lower 30s this evening. Cloudy. Low in the mid-20s. Friday, 20% chance of flurries. High in the upper 20s. Friday evening, it's going to be cold. Partly cloudy skies. Low around 10. And Saturday, partly cloudy with a high near the mid-20s. Currently, we've got 21 degrees and some clouds in the area. Lambert Fields reporting 21 with a wind chill of 15. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. Eye on the Lou with Liz Brown and Irene J. Smith. Riveting talk radio right here on AM 920. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Brother, talk to me, sister.
Jefferson City. Welcome
to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown, and every Thursday, Eye on the Lou, I am joined by Irene J. Smith. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning, Liz.
And
listening audience.
We have much stuff to talk about, Irene J. We need to talk about, my goodness, we have the John Bowman issue to chat about. We have the St. Louis this meeting on Tuesday to talk about. We have a little something going on in the city of St. Louis to talk about. We got a whole lot of stuff to talk about this morning, don't we?
A lot going on.
There is
a lot going on.
A lot going on. We have rumors out there about stuff going on within the race for president of the Board of Aldermen. We have
State Democratic Party
stuff going on. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and we need to attend to all of that. But I think we probably need to start out with something that's happening this Saturday.
This Saturday at 49-23 Union. We're going to have an open house. The Lewis Reed's Northside headquarters is going to have an open house. Come meet, greet, and do a little eating with Lewis Reed and ask him the hard questions.
What time is it start?
It starts at 12. It's from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m.
And here's what I'd like because we do like to plan people's lives. There's also going to be a panel discussion at the on education. It's going to have this is one that was changed the date. John Moten, St. Louis Black Leadership Roundtable. Barnita Knute is going to be the moderator. It's going to take place at the new Sunny Mount Missionary Baptist Church at 4700 West Florissant on that same Saturday, and it begins at 1 o'clock. So we have a full day of stuff. We have a full day of stuff.
Yeah.
We
sure do.
We show
full discussion.
Full discussion.
You get 2 days' notice.
We'll
all
be
right
back
now.
Stay with us.
Like to meet and greet. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guest and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. GNU. Woof.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Eye on the Loo. Let's start with Eye on the Loo on the front page of the Post-Dispatch on the story of John Bowman and the wrong picture being put in there.
This is ridiculous. I mean, has it been determined that was his son's picture or whose picture?
The retraction that was printed by the Post the next day was, we put the wrong picture, here's the right picture. They didn't identify whose picture that they put in there, but it has, sources have told me that it was a picture of his son.
Yeah.
It was a picture of his son. And in terms of the implications of that, Irene, what are your thoughts on that?
A number of things come to mind. You know, should John Bowman decide that it's in his best interest, the best interest of the community and his family, that he stepped down
as a state rep,
you know, I would suspect, because his son is in politics, that perhaps his son might run for a seat. Or, you know, it's just, number one, you're so anxious to get the story out there that you don't take any care to put the right picture out there. I tend not to think that.
And also, there were six reporters on this story. There were six reporters that contributed to this story. Six! So none of you all knew, or you didn't care, or as somebody, one of my friends said to me, I don't put anything past them in terms, this was an intentional act.
Mm-hmm.
It was an intentional act to kill two birds, to kill two Bowmans with one stone.
Yeah. I mean, the whole way the story has been handled, because certainly the state rep part of it, but this is not something that's tied to government.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that the main target, who is the vice president of the bank, that his picture would have also been, and I keep in mind, I didn't see the Post newspapers, just things that were reported to me, but was a vice president's picture?
No, I saw the article. I read the article. I looked for other pictures out there in any of the stories that were reported. The only photograph that has been shown is the photograph of one of John Bowman's son, and then two of the next day, there was another article in the front of the Metro section, John Bowman's falling star. They had the correct picture in there, but they had no picture of the person that's accused, that's been indicted with 37 counts.
Above the fold or below the fold?
Above the fold. Every picture of John Bowman has been above the fold. The first story was above the fold. The second story was below the fold in the Metro section.
The article on the St. Peter's mayor who was sentenced, what was it?
It was in the Metro section. They had a black and white picture, a big black and white picture of two people, his attorney and the former mayor from St. Peter's who took his bribes in a check form. The thing to me, though, the question is, that, and if we're doing a compare and contrast on this, is was there a photograph of that mayor when the story broke about his indictment?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a photograph on the front page of the Post-Dispatch?
As I recall, I think it was in the Metro section when that story broke. And certainly it is whenever anything of this nature happened, it's in view of the fact that John Bowman was the state rep and he's chairman of the Legislative Black Caucus. It's very disturbing to me that it happened in the first place, and then I think John Bowman has to make a decision as to whether or not it is in the best interest of the Legislative Black Caucus that he continue in that role. And that's not saying casting anything in terms of whether or not he's innocent or guilty, because it's stories that are unraveling about this situation, it seems that he might well be innocent, you know.
But it is in the interest of the Black Caucus that he, since he's chairman, and I've Googled this, and there's stories all over the world that are reporting, our newspapers all over the world that are reporting this story. It's in The Guardian, and the lead sentence is a state legislator, John Bowman, chairman of the Black Caucus,
right.
Blah, 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 blah. So it is in the interest of the Black Caucus that he step down, step aside, whatever, from the chairmanship until this issue is resolved.
Right, so that the focus won't be so much on his personal issue, because again, this criminal indictment appears to have arisen out of a personal matter and not anything legislative.
Absolutely.
So rather than continually focusing on his legislative role, then he can do just as many others could do. He could focus on continuing to represent his district.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes away from the business of the Black Caucus if every story that comes out is going to, the lead sentence is going to be, you know, chairman of the Legislative Black Caucus. So
under indictment.
Under indictment.
And
again, it's an indictment, it's an allegation, doesn't mean it's true. But
the way that they will write it will sound like it's worse than what it is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like it's worse than what it is, and the focus will continue would be on the Legislative Black Caucus.
And it's unfortunate that because he was chairman, the Black Caucus's name would have never been in this had he not been chairman. And we've had a discussion about how he came to that chairmanship.
Exactly.
And I've taken issue with how he came to that chairmanship. And the fact of the matter is that the Black Caucus is bigger than any one individual.
Exactly.
So for the sake of the entity, he must step down and step aside.
I think it would be in the best interest of the caucus, no doubt. And from the standpoint of one having to deal with the weight of an indictment,
mm-hmm.
you know, you cannot...
A federal
indictment. Mm-hmm. You cannot focus on... it's going to be difficult for him to focus on additional responsibilities that the chairman of the Legislative Black Caucus would have. So I'm hopeful, you know, my prayers certainly go out to him and his family, and I'm hopeful that he will take some weight off of himself as well as our community and the Legislative Black Caucus by stepping down.
From what I've been hearing, that's where it's headed.
Okay.
From what I'm hearing, that's where it is headed. So Irene, let's hop to we've been to Jefferson City. Let's take a ride up right straight back down the highway and get to City of St. Louis and what's going on in the City of St. Louis Health Department. department.
Yeah, I like Kool-Aid too.
Okay, let's talk about this. Who is the head of the health department?
Dr. Kincaid.
Not Rosa Kincaid.
No, not Dr. Rosa Kincaid.
This is a white male doctor by the name of Kincaid. What's his first name?
I can't even think of his first name.
All right, Dr. Kincaid, that is the head of the health department. We've had a number of aldermen that have sent written complaints, is my understanding, to Francis Slay about comments that the head of the health department has made. The white male doctor that heads the health department for the city of St. Louis. Can you give us a little bit of background about that position and who was in it and stuff like that? I mean, is this a position that, or what does this position do?
This position is responsible for coordinating the health services to the city of St. Louis that come through the city health clinics, health issues, you know, STDs, things of this nature. Historically, the role and the responsibilities have decreased because the city of St. Louis, as we know, no longer operates hospitals. At one time, we had Number One and we had Homer G. Phillips, and so the head of that department also was responsible for being the administrative head of those hospitals. At this time, with a lot of the healthcare services being contracted out, that person, for lack of a better word, is almost like a figurehead, because we have a health commissioner, and that individual is Melvin Moore. But the department head, I often ask myself at this point in time, what does that person actually do?
Larry Fields used to be in that position.
Exactly.
And he was an African man, a surgeon and a teacher and instructor at WashU, and also he was over Connect Care. So we have this.
And he probably didn't live in the city of St. Louis, but that's another whole discussion.
Okay. So, but now he lives in Washington, D.C., so he's not here. We know he's not here now. So let's talk about what has been reported. That the doctor that heads the health department for a city that is predominantly African, a city that whose a lot of the health needs are a lot of people of African descent that come through the department that need different
services. The majority of individuals that come through the health department would probably be members of the African American community, a disproportionate number.
It has been reported that the good doctor made the statement that the only people, because there was something about Kool-Aid that came up, and he made the statement that the only people that drink Kool-Aid are niggas and poor white folks. I'm not sure if it was poor white folks or trailer trash. I'm not sure which one of those. But he said the only people that drink Kool-Aid are niggas and then poor white folks. And this is what the head of the... Now, let me ask the listening audience out there, have you heard this story before? Have you heard anything about this before? And so the question becomes, you know what? Let's just do a little memory, take a trip down memory lane.
Wale Amusa. Northside Shopping Center. Meeting in North St. Louis with a meeting that had been convened, spearheaded by former Alderwoman Tyers, Vama Bailey, myself, Charles Quincy Troop. We're discussing it, you know, trying to get more information out to let people know what's going on. Wally gets up and say, why are you going to let them white folks from South St. Louis stop us from getting, you know, something relative to the shopping center? All he said was those white folks.
And,
you know, because Steve Grigali, who had been invited to the meeting, was present. Upon hearing this, he considered it an insult, went back, demanded that then Mayor Bosley, Freeman Bosley Jr., that he fire Wale as a result of this statement. And, of course, those of us who were there know that, okay, maybe you were offended by the statement, but it certainly wasn't of the nature of the type of statement that Dr. Kincaid, head of the health department, is reported to have said. Immediately, I'm trying to think, was Wale. I think Wale resigned, but he was resigned, I think, under the threat of being fired.
And we need to talk about what Francis has done about this. And we're going to give you some phone numbers, too, when we come back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic. A lot going on. Southbound 55 between Route A and 67. Ice build up. Multiple accidents are reported around that area, so look for stop traffic. Eastbound 44 at Watson and Berry. Two left lanes are blocked. An accident, two left lanes near the Berry exit, so look for stop traffic there. And northbound 55 from Route AA through Route M, look for an ice buildup causing multiple accidents there. Slow down. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 on the PSB, slow traffic due to icy patches. Westbound 64 from 25th through the 5570 merge, look for slowdowns due to icy patches as well. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, look for stop-and-go traffic due to ice buildup. Westbound 40 between McKnight and Lindbergh, look for a stall removed at Lindbergh, but you can expect slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, look for slowdowns there. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road, you've got some ice on the roadways there. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, look for icy patches causing an accident. It's been cleared, but there's still slow traffic going on there. Eastbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through 367. Slowdowns going on due to an accident that was on the off-ramp at northbound 367. Eastbound 364, Creepcourt Mill, look for an accident at Bennington Place causing a slowdown. Eastbound 270 from Bell Fountain through Lilac, you've got those accidents cleared, but there's still some delays going on up there. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant, you've got ice causing some delays there. Northbound 270 from Teston Ferry through 44, you've got some slowdowns around the 44 interchange. Westbound ML King Bridge from the 5570 split in the landing, look for slowdowns due to ice on the bridge. And eastbound 44 from Daimler into 270, look for slow approaches on the exit ramps to 270. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. 30% chance of snow showers this morning. Flurries this afternoon, high in the lower 30s. This evening, cloudy with a low in mid-20s. Friday, 20% chance of flurries, high in the upper 20s only. And Friday evening is going to get cold, partly cloudy with a low around 10. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high only in the mid-20s. Currently, we've got 22 degrees and some clouds with the wind chill making it about 16 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call, Eye on the Lou, with Irene J. Smith. And Liz Brown is up next on Riveting Radio with the wake-up call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up today on the Sloan Ranger Show, Lloyd's guest in the 5 p.m. hour is JunkScience.com editor Steve Malloy. They'll discuss the truth and the fiction of global warming. Then in the 6 p.m. hour, it's Super Bowl commercial time. Lloyd talks with Keith Quisenberry of Spot Bowl about Super Bowl advertising. That's Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, 5 till 7 tonight on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. That's 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call. Liz Brown.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. And Irene, we're breaking the story here about Dr. William Kincaid. Dr. William Kincaid, who is the head of the health department, appointed by, selected by Francis Slay, made a racist comment. And he said it was
a joke.
He said it was a joke. The only people that drink Kool-Aid are niggers and poor white folks.
Or trailer trash.
Something like that. Either one of those. It is absolutely outrageous. And people need to call Francis Slay's office and ask him, When is he going to fire him? Because apparently there's been little punishment, if any punishment.
Well, it's my understanding, as this was reported to us, that Alderman Greg Carter, who is the chair of the health committee.
That is correct.
It's my understanding that he has either already or is in the process of asking for his resignation.
That's right.
Because I think there was an oral request for it. I've spoken with at least one other alderman who initially made us aware of, because somebody had, you know, it was like the raps was on this or something, and no one has heard anything. The response, it's my understanding, was that, okay, he'll get a 2-week suspension.
And I heard that it was only a week.
Okay.
And it was only a week.
But the issue is, this says something about the mayor of the city.
Yeah.
Because just roll back.
And his number, Francis Slay's number is 622-3201, 622-3201. Go ahead.
The incident involving Bernice Jones King's son reporting to his mom what he heard, overheard, just slipped my mind, the former head of the NSO, Anna Ginsberg, statement that she had made, racist statement, allegedly that she had made, and the manner in which that was handled in terms of, that was actually an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if a complaint has officially been filed. It's my understanding that it was by Melba Moore. So then there should be an investigation. And if, in fact, this statement was made,
well,
and
he was suspended,
then the question becomes, is that sufficient for using the N-word?
No, wait a minute. And not only for using the N-word, but the head of a department, a doctor, a medical doctor. So how are African people treated by a man who sees you as a nigger?
That's right. And you're talking about your health concerns and your health risk.
That's fact.
And I'm trying to think back from when I was representing several city employees, and I seem to recall an incident out of the refuse, and this was a low-level employee who had involved, and there had been some cursing going on and some racial statements made, and I think this guy got almost like a 30-day suspension or something of that nature. And here you have a head of the department, over the health department, and if this is true, now if you're suspended for a week because of this statement, then the question becomes, you know, what else are you saying? If you feel comfortable
enough
your professional staff, of which many happen to be African-American, making this statement, making this joke, if you feel comfortable doing that among your professional staff and you are head of a department that is responsible for providing health programs for our people and for citizens in the city of St. Louis, and the majority of the people are all, you know, poor, either African-American or Caucasian or whatever.
You have contempt for
the people that you're serving.
That's right. That's right. You have contempt for the people that you are serving. And what does this say about, let's tie this into Jeremy. Let's tie this into the murder of Jeremy by the police. What did the cops say? What has it been reported that the cops...
It was reported as like Say it. Say what he said.
Well, I'm not going to say what he said. I'll say it the way I say
that's
it,
right.
And that is, you know, the ends are coming. The ends are coming.
That's
come
right.
on. The
that's
ends
right.
are coming.
That's right.
I mean,
but tying that to the attitude of those in the highest levels of government in this city have to that kind of contempt. And also be clear that the same chief of police, Mokwa, after allowing one of his cops to holler into his, after murdering an African child and hollering into his report or into his microphone that the niggas are coming, the same police chief has said, laughed and asked the question of when he was told that a lot of black people are moving out to the county because housing is cheaper in the county. He laughed and says, well, how can we get the rest of them to move out? How can we get the rest of them to move out?
I guess funny or something. I mean, this is, you know, people say, well, you know, what's the big deal? The big deal is that you have a head of the health department or any other department for that matter making this statement. This is someone that is charged with the responsibility of developing policies.
That's right. That's right.
Dealing with
right.
health issues that impact poor folks, a majority of which are African American, and poor people.
And let's talk about a show that I did on Tuesday. Did a show on the MED program here in the city of St. Louis. What was one of the statements made by Don Fitz, who's heading this the Green Alliance to deal with this issue, that there is a suspicion that the lead money is being spent in air, not in the zip codes where the lead poisoning is, in predominantly African zip codes, but elsewhere, that there is a racial disparity of how the lead poisoning money is being spent on based on the issue of race. So attach that to the fact that the head of the health department is making nigger jokes. So is it any surprise? And the number for Francis Lay is 622-3201. That's 622-3201. William Kincaid must be removed from his office.
He needs to go. And for those of you who are so eloquent, I've gotten a lot of your emails that like to write, the fax number is 622-4061. 622-4061. Call the mayor's office, 622-3201. Dr. Kincaid needs to step down.
William Kincaid needs to step down. You're on the wake-up call, Eye on the Lou.
Good morning, sisters.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You all on the road this morning. It is really funny. But the subject is really serious because Greg Carter did ask for Kincaid's resignation. He as chairman of the health committee. The Black Caucus, to my knowledge, have not taken a position on removing Kincaid one way or the other. But what Irene was hitting on it, how can you provide health care to the people that needed the indigent health care in this city when you denigrate them, when you obviously hate them? If you hate people, and that's one of the problems with health care in America,
first,
the people that provide you the health care don't like you. I don't care what kind of insurance you have. I have three insurance policies.
And the studies,
but I
the
still
studies
don't
bear
have access to real quality health care.
The studies bear
I'm
that
black.
Out. The studies
and
bear
then when
that out.
People true. Use your blackness to denigrate you. Then how can you find caring and sensitivity? Or if they don't care about you as an individual, they don't care about your health.
But Quincy, I mean, and let's tie that, let's continue to tie that. If they hate you, if they have contempt for you, are you going to be offered the same services? Are they going to go the extra mile that any doctor needs to go for your treatment if they have contempt for you? What do they care if you get your shots on time? What do they care if you know about what shots you're supposed to take? What do they care if you get to the resources? Because if they hate you, they don't care if you're going to die or live.
Exactly. All they do is accelerate the excessive and unnecessary death of black people. And that's why
we only
have 3% of the health professionals in health care. And that's why black people are dying, because the people that are treating them don't want to treat them and don't like them.
hate them. That is a hate statement. That is a statement of hate. And he should, and this man should lose his job. There's no question about this.
I mean, that's not even debatable. I don't even think Wale said white people. I said, I thought I was sitting close to him.
He said those folks in South St. Louis. He said those folks.
He didn't even use the term white.
He said those folks in South St. Louis.
He didn't even use the words white. They fired him. Now, this was a black man, right?
Right.
And they fired him. I mean,
so officially he resigned.
Whatever you say, fired him. And he wouldn't take the heat for that to tell them that you. All Wale was saying is we need to get together and focus and unite on doing what we need to do to survive. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was saying.
And you couldn't, and you tell me that the black man couldn't stand behind him saying that, then how's the white man going to stand behind Kincaid referring to us?
Well, I'm Kincaid. I mean, come on. Well, this is consistent with Francis Slay. I mean, Francis Slay is the mayor. You know, this
Wait a minute. Quincy,
Let Irene
go ahead and finish that.
I mean, this is consistent with Francis Slay and how he deals with the African-American community. Okay, here you are just down there, Martin Luther King Day, talking about how we got to love one another. And then here's one of your staff members a month or several weeks before calling and making fun of and using racist slurs at our community and talking about poor folks.
That's right. That's right.
The person who has to develop the policy, the health policy for poor people, of which a disproportionate number are African American, and talking about poor white folks. Kincaid need to go.
We got to take a break, Truth.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call. And Irene, the event on Saturday.
Saturday we're having an open house at my old headquarters at 49-19-23 Union from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. from 12 to 3 p.m. Come on down. Talk with Lewis Reed. Ask him the hard questions. Don't let him slide. He wants to see you. Come on. We're gaining motivation. You leave there. You look. Sunny Mom is right in the area. Come on through. Get you something to eat. Talk to Lewis Reed. Then go check out the discussion 2 weeks later.
The forum on Saturday is a forum on education, and it's going to be a number of people there. Bonita Canute is going to be the moderator. John Moten, the Black Leadership Roundtable. I'm going to be on the panel. Bert Schulte, the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Education, Secondary and Elementary Education. You need to be there. That starts at 1 o'clock. It ends at 2:30. It's going to be at the New Sunny Mount Baptist Church right there at 4700 West Florissant. A discussion on education. You need to be there. I'm going to be on the panel. We're going to be talking about education. After what we did on Tuesday, come on down to this as well. It's going to be a full Saturday. Stay with us.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else?
Where else? Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Get on down to Sears. You need a dishwasher. You need a treadmill. You need some tools. You need some great customer service. Get on down to Sears, right there at Union and Natural Bridge. Be there, go there, and tell them I told you to.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. Our number here is 454-0400-1877-920-WGNU. My mind is just racing about this issue that we have. The head of the health department in the city of St. Louis, William Kincaid, he's also a medical doctor, Dr. William Kincaid, making the statement that the only people that drink Kool-Aid are niggas and poor white folks. I was thinking about the show that I did last Friday where the young woman of African descent was fired from her job for wearing a I love black people button.
I love being black.
I love being black, right. For wearing that button, I love being black, she was fired from her job. She was fired from her job. For saying I love being black.
For saying something positive about who you are.
Exactly. And the same business that stripped all of the pictures of Martin Luther King from the cubicle of one African woman that worked there. Now, here we have a white man that is clearly expressing racial animus, clearly expressing racial hate, clearly expressing racism. A doctor is a head of the department, and Francis Slay hasn't said boo. Francis Slay's number, y'all need to give him a call at 622-3201, that's 622-3201, and tell him that William Kincaid needs to be fired from his job.
Today.
Let me get to some of our callers here. Bob.
Two quick things, Liz. One thing I want to say is that whenever you gave that number out the first time, I dialed it. First, it rang for about 10 times. Then a voice recording came on and said, "This is Francis Slay's office. Please hold." No music, just total darkness for a long time. So I finally hung up. I'm going to try after 8. Number two is, Caucasian people watch TV too. What do you think this guy running for president, this Kincaid guy, what do you think they're going to do when George Bush's mother goes to the dome, stands up, turns around real slow, and looks and says, "Wow, what are these people complaining about? This is the best they ever lived." What do you think they're going to do? That's the president's mom. So, they watch her and hear her say this, and you know what they talk about when they're by themselves. So when they see her, they say, "It's okay. I'm not going to get fired."
Thanks for your call.
All right.
I mean, that just kind of underscores, if you feel comfortable saying this in front of professional staff, a sizable portion of the professional staff at the health department are African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
You feel comfortable saying this?
Mm, mm, mm. Laura.
Hi, Misery. I've been trying to get in touch with Lewis Reed for years. I have a business downtown in his ward. Several times I've been certified. They are ticketing my vans and everything. I've been trying to get a low zone, and he won't even return my calls, nor will anyone in his office. So where is that meeting tomorrow?
I'll tell you exactly where it is. It's Saturday. It's at 491923 Union. That's three buildings north of I-70. Easy to get to.
Okay.
Easy to get to. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Daniel.
How are you all doing?
Outstanding.
That's good. Well, I guess you all answered, one of the callers answered my first question, because I just wanted to know what ethnicity, you know, Dr. Kincaid was, but that question's already been answered. That's number one. Number two, I guess it just goes to show that, you know, insensitivity and racism doesn't have to be just only in places that aren't considered as important. It can be in high places, too. And that's my comment.
Thanks. Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. These are amazing times, Irene, because I say this on the show all the time, everything is connected. I mean, mm-hmm. when we have babies that are shot in the back and murdered by the police, like Jeremy was,
mm-hmm.
When we have health care or lead, $10 million a year in lead money not going to people because of the color of their skin, when we have the head of the health department making racist, disparaging comments about the people, some of the people, all of the people that he treats. He treats African people and poor white people, because it's about economically your economic situation.
Exactly.
So here we have the head, William Kincaid, Dr. William Kincaid, using the word nigger to describe people.
and trailer trash and poor white folks.
There you go.
You know, which says something about, I mean, you feel, again, think of the setting. You're in your professional staff. You feel comfortable. This ain't in your living room. This is not with your homeboys, you know, kicking it. Or, you know, you are spitting tobacco.
Or no,
or just
or
chewing tobacco.
Or washing your sheets.
Or washing your sheets. You understand what I'm saying? That you're not at
your clan meeting.
Your clan meeting, or you're not at your boys club meeting. You're in talking among as reported.
Your employees.
Your employees who are African American. And you don't, you know, it's like, hey, I feel comfortable saying this. It's just a joke.
And here we have Francis Slay, who hired this man. Who insisted upon hiring this man, Francis Slay, and who governs over a city that is over 50% people of African descent, and he has said nothing about this. Oh, he hasn't fired this guy. He hasn't fired this guy. This is absolutely outrageous. Francis Slay's phone number is 622-3201. You want to fax him? You can do that at 622-4061. The fax number again is 622-4061. The phone number is 622-3201. This man needs to go.
Just flip the script. And had it been an African American department head that had used a word such as those honkies or something of that nature, just imagine what would have happened. But that didn't happen.
He would be fired before his words disappeared from the airwaves. Okay,
that didn't happen. But what is reported to have happened is that Dr. Kincaid says he's making a joke about black folks and poor white folks.
And here's another piece of this too, Irene. Where is the responsibility of Francis Slay in this issue? He should have come to the public. He could have even done it on Martin Luther King Day and said, this is what my administration stands for. We do not stand for anything like that. He could have had a press conference, the same kind of press conference he had for the ballpark, saying, this man is no longer in my employ because we do not tolerate things like that. What did he do? He covered it up. He gave him a slap on the wrist, a vacation, so that I guess he can go and use the N-word as much as he wants to. William Kincaid got a vacation, and Francis Slay covered it up.
And this is the thing. You know, the push should be definitely on Slay, but that push could come not just from folks calling, but I'm hopeful that the Automatic Black Caucus will sign a letter
at the very least
demanding that this man resign from his position.
Or get fired.
Fired.
Okay? You shouldn't be able to resign from your position. You should be fired for cause for something like that, so that it is on your record, so that nobody else will be able to have to suffer with this kind of man in their position. This is the kind of comment that's supposed to stay with you. People are supposed to know this. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
And Alderman Irene Smith. This is Reverend Graham calling from St. Joe.
Good morning, Reverend Graham. I am no longer an Alderman. I'm just Irene J. Smith.
Well, you know, in our tradition, once you're there, you always.
Well, I was a judge at one time, too. So if I had to pick a title, that would be it.
Okay, well, Reverend Graham, quickly, please.
Yes, you know, I'm out of town. I'm here now, but I've listened to you all on the on my computer. And we really appreciate the program this morning. And I hope that everything continues, and we just wanted to say hello to St. Louis.
All right, Reverend Graham, thank you so much for the call. The phone number again for Francis Slay is 622-3201, 622-3201. William Kincaid, Dr. William Kincaid, needs to be fired. Robin.
Good morning, Ms. Brown and Ms. Smith.
Good morning, Robin.
Speaking about the statement that
William Kincaid
made about the Kool-Aid and using the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 years ago, I don't know if you guys paid attention, but Channel 5 during the afternoon, just like around 2 o'clock, would always show a commercial, Kool-Aid commercial, with black family just loving cherry Kool-Aid, loving cherry Kool-Aid. And you cannot, for the life of you, show one time a commercial where a white or Caucasian family sat around and drank Kool-Aid. They're either Hispanic or they're African-American. The only time you see these Caucasian kids indulging in Kool-Aid is on Saturday mornings. And I call Kool-Aid, the 1-800 number that they have on the back of the Kool-Aid packs, and ask them about it. But you no longer see those commercials anymore.
All right.
About black families just loving cherry Kool-Aid.
Thanks for your
call, Robin.
Well, when I was a kid, that's all I saw was white kids drinking Kool-Aid, but because there wasn't no black folks in the commercials.
One more time, the meeting on Saturday for Lewis Reed Meet and Greet, time and place.
49-1923 North Union, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., right down the street, right down the street from where, not too far from Sunny Mile.
We're talking about Union and 70.
Union and 70. Three buildings north of the highway.
Very good. Irene J. Smith, thank you so much. And we have much to report for next week.
Yeah, because we missed out on the other word on the street.
All right, we'll get to that. Listen, folks, we'll be back. Stay with us.
White, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. If you're of a certain age, say under 40, you probably laughed if you saw the signs in Boston.
Someone needs time out.
If you're a little older, you probably weren't amused by dozens of illuminated devices with a blinking gesture some say is obscene.
What I really want to know is, where are they setting up the gallows for the guys who did this? I mean, this is where they hung people.
Police thought it might be a terrorist plot. It was just an ad gimmick to promote a cable TV show.
Two suspects who have been arrested, and there could be more, now face a charge under a new state law which makes it a crime to commit a hoax leading to panic or discomfort among the public. There could be more arrests also of vowed state officials, of people involved at the ad agency that came up with this so-called guerrilla campaign, and possibly officials, executives at Turner Broadcasting.
ABC's Ron Claiborne in Boston. President Bush has indicated he'll sign a bill to raise the minimum wage once it gets to his desk. He's still waiting on it, though. The House passed it weeks ago after a few hours of debate. The Senate's gone weeks, but is ready to vote. That could be today. But if that bill passes, it'll have to be reconciled with the House version. The Senate is also closer to bipartisan support on a resolution condemning the troop surge in Iraq. Virginia Senator John Warner has come up with a version that's more popular on both sides of the aisle.
Congress should not take any action that will endanger United States military forces in the field, including the elimination or reduction of funds for troops in the field. As such, an action with respect to funding would undermine their safety or harm their effectiveness in pursuing their assigned mission.
Now, this resolution is non-binding. No matter what happens in the Senate, the president says this troop surge will continue. Having trouble getting your kids to go to bed, this might help. Tell them that less shut-eye means lower grades. That's what a study of middle and high school students found. Those students are also more likely to snore, have restless leg syndrome, and to have a hard time waking up in general. This is ABC News.
And now, a game-time update from Walmart. With their oven-mitt skillets and chip and dip bowls, they stand ready. Like warriors off to battle, these party throwers bust open bags of chips, arrange jelly platters, cook, take, and make pizzas, all in preparation for the big game. Their fans have gathered to taste victory. And that famous seven-layer bean dip, because it's game time. They've been to Walmart, and they're prepared to put on a show like never before.
Pepsi, Doritos, Cheez-Its, Chex Mix, and Planters Peanuts are conveniently located at our game-time party display. Many on rollback. Look for it at Walmart.
If you have a family history of diabetes, listen to what consumers say about Cromax.
My parents are diabetics. After learning I was pre-diabetic, I decided to do something. I discovered Cromax. It really works. I can tell a huge difference in my cravings and my energy level.
Cromax Chromium Picolinate is patented for its nutritional benefits to help promote healthy blood sugar and cholesterol levels, increase energy, and fight weight gain. Take control of your health with Cromax. Look for the yellow and blue Cromax box in the vitamin aisle at fine drug, grocery stores, and super centers.
The nominations have been announced, and we're one step closer to learning whom the Oscar goes to. The ballots for the Academy Awards are in the mail.
Oscar ballots are in the mail to the more than 5,800 voting members of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. The ballots, sent out Wednesday, list nominees in 19 categories. Academy President Sid Gannis says the race for Best Picture is wide open.
I wouldn't bet on anybody right at this point.
Academy members have until February 20th to fill out and send in the ballots. 5 days later, the Oscars will be handed out here in Hollywood and live on ABC TV, February 25th. Dave Alford, ABC News, Hollywood.
Jennifer Gordon's decided UBid.com can go on her belly. The Chicago mother-to-be put her bump out to bid in exchange for a pair of 50-yard line Super Bowl tickets. The online auction site came through, and if you watch carefully Sunday during the big game, at some point she'll pull up her favorite Bears jersey just high enough for you to see UBid's logo. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a man is facing drug charges after an accident involving a school bus. Prosecutors have charged Kenneth Greer with possessing meth and drug paraphernalia, and traffic charges could eventually be added. Police say Greer drove the wrong way in front of the bus in Dittmer on Tuesday. The bus swerved and tipped over, but the students on board walked away with only minor injuries. St. Clair County prosecutors are seeking the death penalty for a woman accused of kidnapping and murder. 24-year-old Tiffany Hall is accused of killing a pregnant mother. Jamila Tunstall was found murdered in September of last year. Hall led authorities to Tunstall's apartment, where they found the bodies of her three young children. Hall currently only faces charges in the murder of the mother, but she may eventually face more charges. Finally this hour, Cardinals chairman Bill DeWitt insists that the Cardinals made a fair offer to Jeff Weaver. DeWitt said the club's unwillingness to match the offer from the Seattle Mariners had everything to do with the value placed on the free agent and nothing to do with the club's financial flexibility. Weaver's agent said that the Cardinals did not make a suitable offer to his client. DeWitt says that the club has retained the ability to acquire a premium starting pitcher through trade or free agency. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather. Lots of traffic details going on this morning. Southbound 55 from Route 8 through 67. Look for ice buildup causing multiple accidents. Stop traffic there. Westbound 40 between Kings Highway and Hampton. Look for an accident right lane. Car spun out and it's causing some slowdowns there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry. Look for an accident. Right lane's blocked just north of 44. Northbound 55 from Route AA through Route M. Look for ice buildups. Multiple accidents there. Eastbound 70 at O'Fallon and Grand. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident in Grand. There's a lot of ice going on there. Eastbound 40 between 270 and 170. Look for black ice causing slowdowns all over the place, especially in these areas. Eastbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through 367. Look for an accident that's cleared on ramp to northbound 367. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split into landing. Look for icy patches. Eastbound 44 from Dimeworth through 270. Look for some ice buildup causing some slowdowns at that interchange. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. We've got a slow go going on there. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. Look for some delays. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason. Look for slowdowns there. Westbound 64 between Ball Avenue and the 5570 split. Look for some slowdowns going on there as well. Eastbound 44 from 270 through Barry. There's an accident that's been cleared. Traffic starting to ease up there. Eastbound 70 at 270 in St. Charles Rock Road. There's icy patches causing delays. And northbound 270 at Dorset and 70. Look for some delays there as you hit the right 70 exit lanes, and there's also some icy patches going on. There's a lot of black ice out and about, so just use caution, slow down, give yourself a break. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. 30% chance of snow showers this morning and flurries by this afternoon, high in the lower 30s. This evening, cloudy, low in the mid-20s. Friday, 20% chance of flurries, high in the upper 20s, and then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the 20s. Currently, we've got 23 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 22 degrees. Wind chill makes it feel like it's about 16, 17 out there. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg, hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you
sustain? The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to the Wake Up Call. And because it's Thursday at 8 o'clock, it is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Very good. Jamala, we have a full discussion this morning. What are we going to be talking about?
Liz, we kicked off the legislative session this year knowing that the death penalty was going to be an issue, and that was because of all of the things that have been going on since the last session where, for example, we found out about Dr. Dierhoff and the kind of things that he was doing as it related to the dosages of the death penalty. We find out we have still pending the case of Larry Griffith, which might be a wrongful execution. And so we felt like a lot of this was the same kinds of things that Governor Ryan faced when the death penalty discrepancies and violations were presented to him, and he felt like he had no choice but A, relieve folks off death row, and two, impose a moratorium. So I really believe with all the things that have happened in Missouri, we are really poised to do the same thing in a serious way. And so today we have with us Tom Sullivan, who is co-chair of the Illinois Commission on the Death Penalty. And he also will be the guest speaker at a moratorium now, Lobby Day on February the 20th. So we really wanted him to kind of talk about the process that they use, the recommendations, and the status of where that is now.
Very good. And I want to remind everybody that Saturday I will be on a panel discussion talking about education. I will be talking about an education onslaught attack of public education contrived or necessary. That will take place on Saturday at 1 o'clock at the New Sunny Mount Baptist Church at 4700 West Florissant. Bonita Knute, moderator, Channel 2 news anchor, will be the moderator. And Bert Schulte, the deputy commissioner of the Department of Education and Elementary Secondary Education. Senator Rita Days will be on the panel. Ron Jackson will be on the panel. John Moten with the St. Louis Black Leadership Roundtable. It's going to be an incredible discussion that Saturday. This was a forum that was postponed. Saturday at 1 o'clock at 4700 West Florissant, New Sunny Mount Baptist Church. And stay with us. We will be back with more Justice for Reggie.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
Hi, this is Leora Daniels, and I invite you to join me every Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9 for good gospel music and church news on the Highway to Heaven broadcast. Start your Saturday off right with me, Leora Daniels, and the Highway to Heaven broadcast. Saturday mornings at 8:30, right here on WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie. This is the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, welcome back. And we're going to talk this hour to Thomas Sullivan, an attorney, and the attorney that was with the Illinois Death Penalty Commission. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm outstanding. Thomas, can we start at the beginning of this? Can you give us some history that led up to the creation of the Illinois Death Penalty Commission?
Well, we had about 170 people on death row back in the late 1990s, and there were, I believe, 11 executions in Illinois since the death penalty had been reinstated in 1976. And when we got up to 13 exonerations, so that the exonerations exceeded the executions, George Ryan, who was then governor, decided to stop any further executions, which is what the moratorium does. It doesn't stop new capital punishment verdicts from coming in, but it stops the executions. And he determined to form a commission that he appointed to study how to make the capital punishment system more accurate, fair, and just. That was his motivation, as he explained it in a number of speeches.
So what does the commission look at when they are moving towards that directive? What do you look at?
Well, the commission, first of all, the commission was formed in 2000 and rendered its report in April of 2002. So the commission has been out of business for almost 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we did look at the whole process from the time of the commission of the crime through the arrest, questioning of suspects, eyewitness identifications, the charging decisions, whether or not to seek a death penalty, then the pretrial proceedings, the trial itself, and then post-trial if there's a capital verdict, the appeals, and the collateral, normally in a death case, in Illinois anyhow, if it's affirmed on appeal, then the defendant goes to the federal court seeking relief in the federal court. And then the clemency, if all that fails, the clemency process. So we looked at the whole process from the very beginning. We also looked at the statistics to see whether there was discrimination based on race or geography. We looked at the interest of the victims and the rights of the victims. I mean, this is a two-sided story, of course, because we were looking at murder cases, so there's always a dead person involved and his or her family who is severely impacted by the killing. And of course, if the wrong person is apprehended and convicted, then the actual killer is still out on the street, a threat to the community. And also it's very upsetting to the victim's family if they find out later that they've misidentified the person and caused them to go to jail. We had some people in jail for up to 20 years who were later exonerated. And I should tell you, Liz, that the advent of DNA has really been a breakthrough, because it is a method by which you can be sure that you have the right or wrong person if there's some substance left that can be tested through DNA. It can be determined without any question, not based on fallible eyewitness identification or that kind of thing.
Now, Tom, you are a former federal prosecutor for Northern Illinois, and you were selected to be the co-chair of this commission. Was that difficult for you, coming from the prosecutorial side of the fence? Was it difficult for you, or were there any challenges for you, given your background?
Well, first of all, I've been practicing law since 1954, so I'm now in my 53rd year. And of those 53 years, I was a prosecutor for four. So it's less than 10%. Most of my career, I've been a private lawyer at the same firm, Jenner and Block in Chicago. And most of the time, I've done both civil and criminal litigation, but to the extent to which I engaged in criminal litigation, most of my work has been for the defense. For 4 years, I was appointed by President Carter to serve as the United States Attorney in Northern Illinois. But actually, the training that you get as a private lawyer is that you work for the person that pays you. And so it was no problem for me either to switch from being a defense lawyer to a prosecutor or to go on this commission. And indeed, I brought with my appointment the experience on both sides.
So let's talk about some of the things that you discovered in the research and the exploration that this commission did. Can we first start with some of the statistics? What were some of the statistics that you found that the commission concluded with respect to geography and with respect to race?
We had a study done by Michael Radlett and Glenn Pierce, who are experts in this area. And they found two areas where there seemed to be a discrimination. One was if the victim was white, there was a greater likelihood that there would be a death penalty in a murder case than if the victim was non-white. And secondly, if the murder occurred in a rural community, there was a greater likelihood that a death verdict would be returned than if it occurred in an urban community such as Chicago.
Really?
So it was interesting because you normally would think of it in terms of the defendant's race. You know, if the victim was black, the defendant was black, that you'd have a greater chance of getting a death verdict. But that didn't turn out to be the case. There was no statistical...
What's the explanation for the geography piece? Because I get the race piece because of the way that the society has placed greater value on the life of a white person. So
yes.
that tracks the history of this country. The geography piece, though, rural people got the death penalty charge more than urban? What's the explanation?
Well, I think the reason is, first of all, in the large communities like Chicago, Rockford, D. St. Louis, and so forth, murders are not that uncommon. We have a lot of murders so that people get used to it, you might say. They are also anonymous. That is, the juries and the prosecutors don't know who the victims are. You go to a small town and have a murder, which may be the first one in 5 years, everybody knows him. He's the local barber.
Gotcha.
Okay. And so the pressure is on the prosecutor to seek the ultimate penalty, and the judge knows. I'm just hypothecating,
mm-hmm.
but these are some of the things that I think are in operation when you're in a small town with a horrible murder.
And then we also get to the color of the victim as well.
Yes, that's right. So if there was a slight blip on the color of the defendant, but not what the... statisticians called significant.
Mm. So you had studies done on the statistics of it. What about within the prosecuting attorney's office? Did it make any difference? Did race play any other roles in the statistics of who would get the death penalty?
Not that we observed. There could have been, but at least we weren't looking at. You mean, like, for example, if you got a white prosecutor versus...
Right, a white prosecutor,
oh.
white judge, or the jury composition.
Oh, that we didn't look at, Liz.
Okay.
We did not look at.
So the other things that you looked at that the commission took a look at with respect to how the death penalty was implemented, were there some things that were surprising to you?
Well, yes, there were. For example, I was taken with the fact of the large number of factors that a prosecutor could use to make a murder case into a death penalty case, because the Supreme Court of the United States has held that you can't just make all murders capital punishments. You have to have some limitation on it so that it's really the worst crimes of the worst. And in Illinois, we had, and still have for that matter, over 20 different factors that can go into making a case, making a murder case a capital case. So there was a large discretion lodged in the local state's attorney in each of our 101 counties with no review procedure over which cases would be selected to be prosecuted as death penalty cases.
What do you mean? What would a review process do?
Well, the commission recommended that whenever a local state's attorney, they're elected in each of our 101 counties for a four-year term, whenever a state's attorney determined that a case should be prosecuted as a death case, a murder should be prosecuted as a death case, that a five-person board of review that decision and have the authority to override the local prosecutor's decision. So you get some smoothing out of decisions throughout the state and get rid of this potential geographical discrimination. That was not adopted by the legislature.
I would have been surprised that it would have, considering that they would look at it.
Accomplish one thing, and that was the Attorney General of Illinois and the State's Attorneys Association, the Illinois State's Attorneys Association, have adopted some guidelines for prosecutors to use. They're non-binding, but they're very fine guidelines of the process that should be gone through by a prosecutor in the process through which he makes his decision whether or not to seek the death penalty.
And we're going to take a break. We're talking to Attorney Thomas Sullivan with Jenner and Black. He's joining us from Chicago. We're talking about the Illinois Capital Punishment Commission. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather. A lot going on in the traffic world. Westbound 40 between Kings Highway and Hampton. Look for an accident. Right lane's blocked. Car spun out and is causing some slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. Look for an accident. Right lane's blocked. That's just north of 44. Expect stop traffic there. Southbound 55 at Route A and 67. Look for ice buildup causing multiple accidents. Northbound 55, look for stop traffic as well. North of Route AA and Route M, the ice buildup's causing multiple accidents there. Southbound 270 at 70 and Dorset, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from O'Fallon through Grand, look for an accident that's been cleared at Grand, but it still has stop-and-go traffic going on. Eastbound 40 from 270 through 170 and Brentwood, look for black ice causing a number of slowdowns there. A lot of ice buildup going on. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason. Look for delays. Westbound 5570 at 64 split onto the PSB. Look for some slowdowns there. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and the 5570 merge. Look for slowdowns caused by black ice as well. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. You've got some icy patches there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split into the landing. Look for some delays. Eastbound 44, look for some delays there as well as you approach the 270 overpass. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. 30% chance of snow showers this morning and flurries this afternoon, high in the lower 30s. Cloudy with a low in the mid-20s this evening. Then for Friday, 20% chance of flurries with a high only in the upper 20s. Friday evening is going to get cold. Partly cloudy skies, 10 degrees. Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high around the mid-20s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy skies, 22 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting cloudy skies and 22 degrees as well. The wind chill makes it feel like it's about 17 out there. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Steele.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown. inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brandt.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
And our guest this hour is Thomas Sullivan. He's an attorney with Jenner & Black. He's joining us from Chicago. He is the co-chair of the Illinois Capital Punishment Commission. He was appointed to review and recommend reforms during that state's governor-initiated execution moratorium.
And Tom, one of the things that I thought about, just because I read that one of the members, as they were going through the process, said that there is absolutely no way you can make the death penalty fair and just. What kinds of conversations were had as you all wrangled to get to the 85 or so recommendations?
You mean as to whether or not we should have a death penalty?
Well, just the kinds of the discussions that went on as you deliberated and particularly around some of the evidence that was surfacing, for example, around the survey that was done.
You know, well, one of the questions that we dealt with early on was whether we should deal with the ultimate issue, which is should there be capital punishment in Illinois, because it's solely up to the legislature in each state as to whether there'll be capital punishment. And we decided at the very outset that we would not deal with that because the governor had asked us to determine how to make the system more accurate, fair, and just, rather than whether we should have it or not. At the end of our deliberations, the very last day, somebody said, let's take a vote on whether we should have capital punishment or not, as we had done early on. And there was a marked shift in the number of people that thought we should get rid of it, sort of throwing up their hands at the question of whether this could be made done in a way that's accurate, because we are fallible. We are liable to make mistakes, and we've been shown to make many mistakes. And one of the phenomena in capital cases is that they usually are cases involving the worst, most horrible crimes. And you don't need as much evidence as a prosecutor to get a conviction if the crime is extremely horrible. It's a very interesting phenomenon. The jury gets angry and wants to convict whoever is accused of it. So you have a greater risk of wrongful convictions, in my opinion, in the cases that are selected for capital punishment than you do in the others.
But isn't there also the phenomenon, Thomas, that the worst cases are not the ones that are pursued by the death penalty. Prosecutors pursue for the death penalty.
Well, that I can't answer that question. I don't think we can. Any of us can say that. I know that some of the cases that are pursued for the death penalty are not what I would consider the worst cases. But you do have this rural bias thing operating that we talked about that may explain some of that. But I did see this in a number of the cases that people were exonerated in Illinois. Of the 13, we're now up to 18. When you looked at the evidence of guilt, you wondered not only why they charged it as a death case, but why they charged it at all. In some of these cases, the evidence was so thin that a reasonable prosecutor, a lot of them, wouldn't even bring the charge. And yet they bring it and get a conviction and a death penalty. And it's largely a result of the nature of the crime, not the evidence.
The nature of the crime,
yeah.
Meaning what?
That it's so horrible. In other words, a little child is killed, or somebody's murdered brutally, or there's several killings at one time. Those are the, or rapes and murders. So it's very hard to generalize in this area. I personally question the wisdom as a policy matter of having a death penalty, because they are such a small, dinky percentage of the cases that we have. They're about less than 2%. And yet all this attention and money is focused on the death cases. It took over 12 years from the time of judgment to the time of execution in Illinois. Many of them got reversed on appeal because the appellate judges tend to be more careful about death cases and wanting everything done perfectly at the trial level than they do if a person is given a long sentence. And it seems to me it diverts attention from the vast majority of cases in which people are languishing in jail under long prison terms, and we throw all this money and resources at these few cases that are selected by 101 different individual elected state's attorneys with no review power to oversee what they've decided to prosecute.
And when we talk about money, what kind of money are we talking about?
Well, I can't give you the figures. I don't have them in front of me, but we do know. I mean, the studies that have been done throughout the states have repeatedly shown that it's much more expensive to sentence someone to death and go through that whole process than it is to give somebody a life sentence and keep him in jail for the rest of his life.
And let me get to a couple of our callers here. Dimitri, you have a question for our guest, Thomas Sullivan.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Mr. Sullivan, in all due respect, because you're an attorney, but the larger question I want to pose to you is, did your commission ever look into the possibility of disbarment for prosecutorial misconduct? Because I think that's part of the evil of the judicial process as it exists today. Thank you. I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Thank you, Dimitri.
Yes, we did, and we recommended that the Supreme Court of Illinois take action against any lawyer on either side who was guilty of misconduct in any criminal case. And I should say, and this is not what you're asking me, but in a couple of these cases that we looked at where there were exonerations, there was extremely questionable conduct on the part of the prosecutors. And I can tell you that there has, so far as I know, no action been taken against those prosecutors, except a couple of investigations done in which they were exonerated. And I did not agree with the exonerations, but I'm just one lonely voice in the system.
And in the state of Missouri, prosecutors cannot be sued. In fact, most states, there's prosecutorial immunity. Is that one of the recommendations that was made, or was it simply the Bar Association assessing them?
Yeah, the latter. We did not make a recommendation about suing anybody.
Because of wrongdoing.
Right. That was not our charge. That wasn't within our purview.
When you went into this commission and then began working on it, were there some recommendations that you all kind of thought you were going to have to make that you didn't have to make, and what was the from your perspective the most important recommendation that you all made as part of the commission?
Well, we made 85 recommendations,
right,
dealing with the whole system,
mm-hmm,
okay, from the time of the crime to the date of execution. In my opinion, the most important recommendation we made was that to the extent these recommendations apply to non-death cases, they should be applied. In other words, if we're recommending a reform that applies in a capital case and a non-capital case, for example, eyewitness identification procedures, recording custodial interrogations, giving instructions to the juries about the fallibility of eyewitnesses, those should be applied in every case, not just capital cases. That, I think, was our most important recommendation.
And did the legislature pass that one?
No. The reforms that were passed by the Illinois legislature, with a few exceptions, applied only to capital cases.
Now, let's talk about the eyewitness piece, because I think that one should be clear to everybody about why it shouldn't just be restricted to death penalty cases. What were your recommendations with respect to eyewitnesses, eyewitness testimony?
Right. We recommended that the eyewitness be told before they were shown the lineup or the photo array, because it's usually handled by photos rather than personal, that the suspect may not be in the array. They don't have to make a selection. Even if they don't make a selection, the investigation will continue, so that they don't feel the pressure that they got to pick somebody.
And that they got that the police know, and that they have somebody, and that the right person is there.
Right, right. And also, we recommended that the lineup and photo spreads be done what's called sequentially rather than simultaneously. That is, one by one, instead of all together, the way they do it normally throughout the United States. The reason being that the studies have shown that if you do it simultaneously, there's a tendency to pick out the person that most resembles your recollection of the perpetrator. If you do it one by one, you can't have that comparison. You have to make an absolute selection each time you look at the picture or person. That was not adapted.
That's interesting. We will be back. We're talking to Thomas Sullivan, an attorney with Jenner and Black. He is was a co-chair of the Illinois Capital Punishment Commission. My name is Liz Brown. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. We'll be back.
Stewart. Join me on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Strategies for Building Wealth. This program will explore topics designed to help you better manage your finances, improve your net worth, and understand the basics of investing. So join me as we talk about Strategies for Building Wealth, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Time to make your money work for you.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your health care needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
To Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. Before we begin, I do want to thank one of our sponsors for Justice for Reggie. Church of God in Christ, Bishop Ward, in their generosity, continues to support Justice for Reggie Thursday. This is very important to continue to keep this issue out in front of all of us, so thank you, Bishop Ward. And also, I do want to remind people that there are a couple of things going on Saturday that you need to have on your agenda. At 12 o'clock, there will be a meet and greet for Lewis Reed, who's running for president of the Board of Aldermen. Come down to the White House. We like to call it the White House right there. Irene J. Smith's former headquarters right there at 70 and Union. Come on down at 12 o'clock, meet and greet Lewis Reed. And then starting at 1 o'clock at the New Sunny Mount Missionary Baptist Church at 4700 West Florissant, there will be a panel discussion on education. It will be moderated by Bonita Canute. She's a Channel 2 news anchor, and I will be on the panel. My discussion will be an onslaught attack on public education, contrived or necessary. John Moten with the St. Louis Black Leadership Roundtable will be on the panel. Senator Rita Days will be on the panel. Bert Schulte, the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, will be on the panel. Ron Jackson is supposed to be on the panel as well. Over 1,200 of us attended the meeting on our schools on Tuesday. Come on down and listen to and participate in. You'll be able to ask some questions of this. Listen to this panel discussion on Saturday, beginning at 1 o'clock and ending at 2:30. That's at the New Sunny Mount Missionary Baptist Church at 4700 West Florissant. That's the corner of West Florissant and Shreve. And again, my guest this hour is Thomas Sullivan. He's an attorney with Jenner and Black. He's joining us from Chicago, and he's the co-chair of the Illinois Capital Punishment Commission. And Thomas, welcome back. You talked about the recommendations for eyewitnesses that were not accepted by the legislature to be applied to other cases. As an attorney, does that make sense that these are not attached to all? Shouldn't these cases be attached to all, or shouldn't these requirements be attached to all cases?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'll give you an example. We recommended that the police, when they have a person in custody in a felony case, in a murder case, because our recommendations were limited to murder cases. You have to understand that. That they record by video or audio the whole interview so that you got an absolute record of what was said and done, because so many of these cases involve questions of whether there was a coerced confession or whether the police are overstating what was said. Or, on the other hand, whether the suspect is claiming that the police coerced him and didn't give him the proper warnings when, in fact, they did. So it works both ways. The legislature adopted that recommendation but limited it to murder cases, which is all we could recommend because we didn't have any authority over non-murder cases. But logically, it should apply to every major crime. And throughout the country, more and more policemen are realizing that it is a very good law enforcement tool for their own protection, and it also protects the suspect because the police, if they are inclined to coerce or misstate what was done or said, they can't do it anymore if it's recorded. So that's a very good example of one that it's irrational to limit to homicides only.
You also made recommendations with respect to jury instructions.
Right.
What were those?
Well, we recommended that the jury be instructed that a non-recorded statement, that the jury should look very carefully at any statement attributed to the suspect that was not recorded. That they should look very carefully at eyewitness identifications, because that is a major cause of wrongful convictions, and the procedures by which the eyewitness identification was made. And neither of those...
No, they didn't. I used to be a public defender. I know that they were not going to accept those.
Right.
Out of all of the recommendations, the over 80 recommendations that your commission made, how many were accepted by the legislature?
Well, first of all, they were directed not only to the legislature but also to the Supreme Court of Illinois.
Okay.
But I would say that they adapted about... from 25 to 33% of them, and the Illinois Supreme Court has adapted some improvements in the training of judges and lawyers for capital cases, but so far has not done anything else.
So
there's a long way to go here, and I should tell you, Liz, I am now the chair of what's called the Capital Punishment Reform Study Committee, which is a legislative committee that is called upon to report annually to the legislature of the effect of these reforms. So I'm now in the process of, I have a committee of, there's 15 of us, and we are now preparing our third annual report about what has been the effect of these reforms.
And what have you concluded after the third report? What has been the effect?
Well, first of all, if you recall, Governor Ryan took everybody off of death row in January of 2003. So we started over, you might say, and these cases take a long time. So there's not a lot of evidence. I think there's been 10 cases that have resulted in death verdicts since then. There's been a sharp decline in capital punishment reported throughout the United States, probably as a result of the DNA exonerations, that people are more careful about these cases. So we're still in the early stages of our recommendations, and I'm not really free to tell you what's going to be in the third annual report because it hasn't been approved by my committee yet.
Well, with respect to the first and the second, had you noticed any changes? Was there anything to report that you could see?
Yes. We did hold a public hearing last November in Springfield, Illinois, and a number of the people that testified who are very knowledgeable in death cases because they're either prosecutors or people that are with... anti-death penalty groups, they reported that there were a much more care being given in the selection of cases for capital punishment and the way in which they're processed through the courts. So the witnesses said that they felt that it was the system had been improved just as a result of all the attention that's been given to this.
Given the fact that one of the conclusions that you all came to about how the death penalty is decided, and that race is a major factor in that decision, the race of the victims, were there any recommendations that you made to prevent that from happening, or that you felt got at that serious problem?
The one we talked about before, which is that there be a review body that would have the authority to override a decision to seek a death case and smooth it out over the over the state. That was, as I told you, not adopted. And we also called attention to the fact that there was this bias built into the system. And I think that that alone was helpful in just by calling the prosecutor's attention to it. But
pointing it out, I mean, it's just kind of like what happens in our nation in the resistance to address issues as it pertains to race. You pointed it out. The studies were there. The recommendation was made, but it wasn't adopted.
Right.
And this is uncontrovertible that this is what happens.
Right, and you have to bear in mind also the dynamics, the political dynamics. These men and women run for office every 4 years. And some of these cases of wrongful convictions, you can tie to the election time, just before the election.
Right.
A horrible crime occurs, and the prosecutor wants to show how hard, how tough and good he is or she is. They bring a case that shouldn't be brought, or a case that shouldn't be sent to capital punishment, and they posture for elections. So there are a lot of factors involved.
Mm-hmm. And Jamala, Thomas Sullivan's going to be here.
Tom Sullivan will be here on February the 20th, and we will have a bus leaving from St. Louis. The number to call at the ACLU to get your name on the reservation list is 652-3114, and that's different from last week when I gave you. But if you call the old number, the ACLU has just moved, but the new number is 652-3114.
Thomas Sullivan, thank you so much for joining us on Justice for Reggie Thursday.
You're most welcome.
Take care now. Jamal, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Liz. Much doings and a great job on Tuesday.
Great job on Tuesday. I'm still floating.
That's right. That's
right. I'm still floating. So we do have some. This is just part two. I mean, we still got to go. The meeting is coming up on February the 15th.
Absolutely.
And we have to be vigilant.
Absolutely. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
In New York, in a Boston courtroom this morning, they're telling a judge why they allegedly placed signs, little lighted signs, all over the city as part of a guerrilla marketing campaign to promote a cable TV show. Authorities were livid. They thought the signs might be part of maybe a terror plot. They basically stopped traffic all over town to remove them. Boston Mayor Tom Menino is not amused.
The guy who we arrested last night, the other guy, they're going to be the ones who pay. But somebody in a boardroom made this decision, and they're going to walk scot-free away from the whole issue, and that's unfair. That's really unfair. I want them.
And he says he'll do all he can to find them. The Senate could vote today on a bill to raise the minimum wage after weeks of debate. President Bush plans to sign it once it reaches his desk. It won't. You see, if this one passes, it'll have to be reconciled with a House version. This was probably not the way Joseph Biden wanted to kick off his presidential campaign, saying he's sorry for comments he made about another candidate, Barack Obama.
Biden later expressed regret for anyone offended and explained that he misspoke.
The word that got me in trouble is using the word clean. I should have said fresh. What I meant is he's got new IDs. He's a new guy in the block.
But observers from both parties had questioned what Biden meant, especially by the word clean. Initially, Obama himself did not seem offended, but later in the day, he issued a statement calling Biden's comments historically inaccurate. African-American presidential candidates like Jesse Jackson, Shirley Chisholm, Kara Mulsey Braun, and Al Sharpton gave a voice to many important issues through their campaigns, Obama said. And no one would call them inarticulate. Jake Tapper, ABC News, Washington.
Biden, along with most of the Senate today, is focused on a reworded resolution that condemns a troop surge in Iraq.
Now we have a real opportunity for the Senate to speak clearly. Every senator will be given a chance to vote on whether he or she supports or disagrees with the president's plan.
The new resolution may have more support on both sides of the aisle, but the White House says the buildup will continue. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 23 points and the Nasdaq is ahead 11. This is ABC News.
And now a game time update from Walmart. With their oven mitts, skillets, and chip and dip bowls, they stand ready. Like warriors off to battle, these party throwers bust open bags of chips, arrange deli platters, cook, take, and make pizzas, all in preparation for the big game. Their fans have gathered to taste victory. And that famous seven-layer bean dip, because it's game time. They've been to Walmart, and they're prepared to put on a show like never before.
Pepsi, Doritos, Cheez-Its, Chex Mix, and Planters Peanuts are conveniently located at our game time party display. Many on rollback. Look for it at Walmart.
If you have a family history of diabetes, listen to what consumers say about Cromax.
My parents are diabetics. After learning I was pre-diabetic, I decided to do something. I discovered Cromax. It really works. I can tell a huge difference in my cravings and my energy level.
Cromax Chromium Picolinate is patented for its nutritional benefits to help promote healthy blood sugar and cholesterol levels, increase energy, and fight weight gain. Take control of your health with Cromax. Look for the yellow and blue Cromax box in the vitamin aisle at fine drug, grocery stores, and super centers.
Dude, you're going back to Dell. The computer maker's putting founder Michael Dell back in the job of CEO after a series of problems over the past few years, including a huge laptop battery recall. Latinos love football, but not necessarily the kind that's played in the NFL, and the league's trying to change that, especially with Sunday Super Bowl in Miami.
The NFL's Hispanic fan base has exploded in the last 10 years. It's Peter O'Reilly says about 30 Hispanic men play for the league right now, with those numbers growing each year.
Just this week, the Kansas City Chiefs signed a player out of the Mexican college ranks as the second player to be signed by a team out of the Mexican college ranks.
The next four Super Bowls are in cities with large Hispanic communities, Miami, Arizona, Tampa, then here again. Donna Rapato, ABC News, Miami.
Want to avoid that uncomfortable feeling you can get in your arm after you get a flu shot? You might just want to hit the gym before you go to the doctor. A British study says if you do some bicep curls just before you get the shot, that should eliminate the issue. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a Venice, Illinois man is facing charges in the accidental shooting and death of a toddler. Yesterday, Madison County prosecutors charged 23-year-old Anthony Wise with endangering the life or health of a child, unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon, and obstruction of justice. Investigators say Wise left a loaded gun out on a table. Another child picked up the gun and it went off, striking 2-year-old Timberland Terrell in the head. The child died later in the week. The dispute between the St. Louis School Board president and the district superintendent has gone online. The blog Urban Review STL has started a petition calling for the resignation of School Board President Veronica O'Brien. The petition is critical of O'Brien for trying to remove Superintendent Diana Borisaw. It also accuses O'Brien of becoming a divisive force on the board. Finally this hour, the Blues went through an intense practice yesterday after two straight losses earlier in the week. The Note had allowed just 4 goals in a recent 4-game winning streak, but surrendered 11 goals in the 2 most recent games, including 2 empty net points. The team returns to action tomorrow night in Detroit against the Red Wings. Game time is 6:30. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. This hour's traffic looks like this. Northbound 55 at Route A, double A through Route Z. Look for it. It's closed due to an accident, and a medical helicopter is on his way out at Highway Z, so expect stop traffic. Southbound 55, Route A through 67. Look for ice buildup causing multiple accidents. Southbound 270 at 70 and Dorset. Look for stop and go traffic. Eastbound 44 from Diamond Chrysler through 270, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Teston Ferry and 40 and Doherty Ferry, look for an accident just north of 44. It's been cleared, but expect some delays. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through Brentwood, look for slowdowns there. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70, look for slow traffic in the exit lanes. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing. However, there are icy patches on the bridges, so please use caution. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road, look for delays. Route 3 northbound onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got some slowdowns at the top of that ramp due to ice. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for slowdowns due to icy patches. And westbound 5570 on the PSB, look for some delays, basically due to traffic rolling into downtown at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. 30% chance of snow showers this morning and flurries this afternoon, high in the lower 30s. This evening, cloudy with low in the mid-20s. Friday, 20% chance of flurries, high in the upper 20s. And Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-20s. Currently, we've got 23 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 23 as well. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's about 17 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather, or your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Give it to you. You were born with power. Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Never say that progress is new. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air feels brother. Stop this time.
That not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy, the man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal freedom.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and the number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We have many things that we need to report to you. I'm going to take a couple of minutes here to give you a heads up on some activities that you need to be participating in this weekend. We have a bunch of activities for you to be participating in. Starting at noon, well, actually starting at 9 o'clock, we have the International Urban Institute meeting. It meets every Saturday at 1020 North Taylor, the International Urban Institute meeting at 9 o'clock. Then starting at 12 o'clock, we have a meet and greet for the next president of the Board of Aldermen, Lewis Reed. It's going to take place at this North St. Louis headquarters right there at Union and 70, the White House there, Irene J. Smith's old headquarters. That's going to start at 12 o'clock, and it's going to run past 3 o'clock. So come on down and meet and greet and talk to Lewis Reed. Then at 1 o'clock, we have a forum that is going on, a forum entitled Dealing with Pertinent Issues Affecting Public Education. Over 1,200 of us showed up on Tuesday at the very important DESE meeting. This is a continuation of that. It's going to be a discussion and a panel discussion moderated by Benita Cornute. She's with Channel 2. She's a Channel 2 news anchor. She'll be moderating it. I will be on the panel. I will be speaking to an onslaught attack on public education, contrived or necessary. I will be speaking on that topic. John Moten, St. Louis Black Leadership Roundtable, will be there. Bert Schulte, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, will be there. Senator Rita Days will also be on the panel speaking, as well as Ron Jackson is supposed to be on the panel speaking as well. This will be a very spirited, a very pertinent discussion about what is going on, the pertinent issues affecting public education. If you want more information about this, you need to about what's going on in education, I would encourage you to attend this forum on Saturday. It begins at 1 o'clock. It's going to be at the New Sunny Mount Missionary Baptist Church at 4700 West Florissant, at the corner of West Florissant and Shreve in the city of St. Louis. Light refreshments will be available. Ample parking is available. Your presence is essential. You need community people need to be part of this. So it's a full Saturday. We're really trying to book your Saturday for you. So be there on Saturday, 12 o'clock, be at the Lewis Reed event, or you can even go to the Lewis Reed event throughout this whole process. And you just drive straight down the same street. All you have to do is drive straight down Union, just not too far, and you'll hit the Sunny Mount, New Sunny Mount Missionary Baptist Church, where the panel discussion will be taking place. Again, trying to, you know me, I always try to plan your life. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. Stay with me.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Morning, Liz. How are you this morning?
Joe, good morning.
Good. Just wanted to inform you that Molly Ivins died.
Yeah, she died of breast cancer.
Cancer. I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah, she died. And what is so interesting is that her girl, her road dog, Ann Richards, passing as well. You know, they both passed within a year of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's going to be a very liberal voice. I've seen her speak numerous times. I've met her a couple of times. A very progressive. She was the one that started calling Boy George the shrub instead of the bush. Her voice will be missed.
It will be.
Her voice will be missed.
Okay.
All right, Joe. Thank you so much for that. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. UGNU, you need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Yeah, Ms. Brown, we always talking about education and our kids and things. And I'm looking at the headline on the Post Dispatch. And here they got Black History Month now. I want to ask you am I wrong for saying that I believe that this have a psychological effect upon our kids? It's not a good thing to show the way they do. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. By me not being able to go to a public school to be indoctrinated like other people are, you see, when I look at Black history and see a Black man being mistreated all the time. Really, today, my mind is in the form of thinking like this. Why you let him do that? Why would you do something? So therefore, the book don't tell me, well, he was a slave. And the person that he was a slave for, he couldn't do nothing about it. Now, I look further into the Black history. When I see the Black man with a gun in his hand, he always fighting for the person that kept him a slave. Now, common sense, without any type of education, tell me, well, then how come I don't fight the man since I got a gun, since just like today, we are taught to be nonviolent. We got a Black president, a Black man, Jesse Jackson. He gonna tell Black children to be nonviolent. Well, now, we know what nonviolence means from our Black preachers and things. It means nonviolence against white folks in America. It's because any weekend you can see where the violence is at. It don't mean against Black folks, but you're not going to fight the oppressor. And the next thing about it, why is it that I got to be nonviolence to help myself, but yet my Black preachers will stand up there and tell me, yeah, man, you should go to the army. I mean, no, you can't go over there talking about we shall overcome. Maybe that's why they don't want a Black man to be president.
No, we know why, that there is. I don't believe that there is an energy or an acceptance or a willingness of the country that we live in right now. Is not going to elect a African as a president, and that's because of the history of racism in this country. And it's not going to elect a woman president because of the history and the legacy of sexism in this country. It's not going to happen. It is absolutely not going to happen. And I got to roll. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up. Don't forget, starting tomorrow, we have a brand new show that's going to be started on the Wake Up Call, Wellness 101. Dr. Rosa Kincaid will be joining me every Friday at 9 o'clock. We will be discussing Wellness 101.
9:01. You don't want to miss our kickoff show tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Also at 8 o'clock on tomorrow, we will be joined by author and columnist David Zirin to talk about the two African coaches that will be officiating, coaching the two teams in the Super Bowl, the first time in history. How did we get here? What has happened prior to that, and what does this mean? All of that will be part of the discussion on the show tomorrow at 8 o'clock. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. And in case you missed it, we had a rather shocking revelation on Eye on the Lou today. The head of the health department for the city of St. Louis, William Kincaid, Dr. William Kincaid, in the course of a conversation, it has been reported that in the course of the conversation with his employees, he told, he made a racist statement and claimed that it was in the course of telling a joke. And the statement made by Dr. William Kincaid, the head of the health department for the city of St. Louis, he stated, and what has been reported to me, and also has been told to Francis Slay, is that only niggers drink Kool-Aid. Niggers and poor white people. Now, we need to kind of just digest that horrific statement, and I hate using that word, and I don't use that word unless I'm quoting someone. And you need to just let that resonate with you for a minute, and the ramifications, the complete and absolute ramifications of such a racist statement. This is the head of the health department, the person that will be determining the health issues for you, the person that determines the where $10 million a year is spent on lead poisoning. Is it any wonder then that the medical directive of the city of St. Louis with respect to how lead is treated in children, the city of St. Louis has a policy and a practice that most cities do not. They don't try to treat, lead poisoning can be stopped if you get rid of the lead. St. Louis, under the direction of Dr. William Kincaid, is let's let the kids get sick and then we'll treat them. Well, you can never get the lead out. There is no treatment for the lead that is in your body unless you've reached toxic levels. So understand the consequences of having a person with such racist tendencies, racist actions, the willingness to engage in such racist actions. There is, it's a monstrous thing when you think about it, when they're in charge of health care. When they're in charge of health care. I think that it would be instructive and important for you to call Francis Lay and demand the firing of Dr. William Kincaid. Francis Lay's number is 622-3201, 622-3201. And maybe, you know, maybe there's some defense that Francis has that he just hasn't taken the time to articulate. I sure would like to hear it. 622-3201. How do you have the head of the health department of the oldest health department west of the Mississippi, a population that is mostly people of African descent? There are white folks that live here too. And how do you have someone in that position allowed to say that and get to keep their job? The number to call for Francis Lay is 622-3201. The name of the head of the health department is William Kincaid. Carphone.
How you doing, young lady?
I am outstanding.
You know, one of the things that may be helpful also, if it's possible, is if somebody's going to make these outlandish statements, maybe on your website, you can put a picture associated with a name.
All right.
So sometimes when you see these people in public or you're at certain functions, you can see who they are and act accordingly. If you want to shake their hand or express your discomfort for being in their presence, you can let them know personally.
I think that's a good idea.
Some of these people need to be attacked personally because the things that they do around people who think like them, and at some point in time they think that nothing that they say may get out into the public.
How important is it from your perspective to call Francis Slay and demand that William Kincaid lose his job?
That would be on my agenda today. All right.
It's an important thing for people to do.
Mm-hmm. Because I remember when there was a mayor called Bosley, nobody hesitated to make any phone calls about his improprieties. I think that a lot of things that need to be done is people need to be called out and exposed for their actions and their inactions. I mean, everybody that was attached to Bosley and Vervis Jones at the time of their demise felt the pain.
I think it's not about tit for tat. I think you make a very good point about that people are punished for whether they've committed a wrong or not. Other people have been punished whether they've committed a wrong or not. But the thing about it is that right is right and wrong is wrong. And this is absolutely unacceptable for a person who's sitting in the mayor's office to allow to continue in his employ a person that speaks and says racist things about over half of the population of the city that he serves. That's very unacceptable,
and also the people that are also of African descent that sit there and accept it.
Well, and there are, I understand sometimes I think that there's a thing called battered women's syndrome, that women that have been abused. I think that there are some people out there of African descent that have that same psychological weight that precludes them from doing it over, you know, I mean, sometimes I think your mind can be messed up with racist acts that are constantly directed at you.
And
I'm not offering that as an excuse, but as an explanation that they should not have to work in a city environment, in a city paid, a state paid, any environment where this kind of stuff is inflicted upon them, and particularly in a city where it's our tax money, our money is paying for that man's salary. If they can't stand up for themselves, I'm not going to wait for them to do that, and I don't know enough to address what they haven't done. I do know this, that William Kincaid is a grown man who's a doctor, who has a head position, and he said that he's got to go.
No doubt about it. And I agree with the statement you just made, but also those people who may be of African descent in those positions, they have a legacy to continue. We celebrate his death every year, who gave the ultimate sacrifice. All they have to do is expose the people who are doing the ill things to them and to those around them. That's a small burden to take on.
All right, now, you take care. And let me know what happens when you call Slay's office.
No doubt about it.
All right.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. I'll get to you all when I get back. Stay with me.
Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Big Up Call with Liz Brown.
Build it on up from a firm foundation. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to.
Top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
Rest of the day to you.
Thank you so much. There's no answer when you call the number.
No answer? There's no opportunity to leave a number?
No answer.
Do you get to leave a message?
No answer. Yeah, and I did it twice. No answer. Keep on informing us, doctor. It's your tireless effort.
You know what? I'm gonna give you another number because that's just crazy that his office. How is it 9 o'clock and nobody's answering in Francis Lay's office?
Yep, I did it at 8:10 when you gave it out, and then I did it again. Okay.
All right.
What's the new number?
I've got to get it. I'm looking through my papers right now. Wait a minute. I almost have it right here. Let me see. One second here as I get through these papers. I don't have a number. I thought I had a number.
I'll look it up.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. Bob, good morning.
Good morning. You don't got the number, but I do.
What number? All right.
Hey, Liz, guess what? Guess who I talked to? And guess who is the secretary? And she was so upset to hear about what happened. Remember the news lady, Diane White?
Yes.
That's the secretary. And she gave me a direct. She said, that's a shame, Bob. She said, he did what? She said, are you sure he did this? She said, she was just totally broke down. We talked for about 10 minutes. She said, I'll tell you what, dial this number. She gave me, here we go, 314-612-5112.
512.
That's right to his office.
612-5112.
Right, 612-612-5112. You'll get him right now.
Very good. And that's the number to William Kincaid.
Yeah,
but I think that it is also important. It's great to call him, but he ain't going to tell nobody.
Yeah, he ain't going to tell nobody. I'm going to get to play. That's why.
Okay.
When I called you the first hour, I told you, I said, hey, Liz, you're not getting nothing but just total, just like Dee said. I told you the same thing.
Right.
But I didn't give up, though. She gave me, she's upset, and she said, I can't believe this. So she's waiting for some more calls.
All right, 612-5112, 612-5112, and then a keep calling Slay's number. Somebody will answer,
622-3201. Thank you.
All right, thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. If you don't know what that conversation that we were just having is about, what has happened is that the health director for the city of St. Louis, I'm not talking about the secretary's brother. I'm talking about the head of the entire health department who was appointed by Francis Slay. This man's name is William Kincaid. He's a medical doctor. He is the head of the health department. He has been quoted as saying, the only people that drink Kool-Aid are niggers and poor white people. That's what he said. He should lose his job. He should lose his job. His direct number is 612, it's been reported, 612-5112. That's 612-5112, 612-5112. His name is William Kincaid. Francis Slay's number is 622-3201. That's 622-3201. And it is absolutely unacceptable that this has happened, that this is happening in the city of St. Louis. This is absolutely unacceptable. I've talked to Alderman Greg Carter, who has reported this story, who has said that he has talked to Francis Slay about this. And the Black Caucus, it is my hope that the Black Caucus does something about this as well. They should do something. And you know what? If you don't have, and what I also would encourage you to do is to call your caucus member, your alderman, and have them take a stance on this. This is unacceptable. He should lose his job. Dimitri.
Yes, I just called 612-5112.
Yes.
I got a recording saying to leave my name and message. I left a message that Dr. Kincaid should be fired from his job and his license to practice medicine should be withdrawn.
And you know what, and I think that that's another great place. You bring a good point up, Dimitri. I think one of the things that we can do, because there are associations that govern your licenses. They have bar associations for people that are licensed as attorneys. There are also medical associations that also govern over behavior by physicians. And I think that this is an incident that should be reported to the people that govern his license. This is unacceptable. This
the
is absolutely.
The MAA should police their people, especially the people who are the executioners for capital crimes.
That's right.
And so if I get a response, Liz, if you don't mind, I'll call you right back.
I absolutely don't. Thanks for your call.
Okay, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. Sam.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Now, the only person Mayor Slag would want to get rid of when he wants to get rid of folks, you know, like Chief Sherman George.
And you know what, Sam? That is a profound comparison. Think about the efforts and the actions that Francis Slay has put into attempting to remove Chief Sherman George. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has no shame. There's no shame in his game of going after Chief Sherman George because he's a man of African descent. But this doctor who has done something.
Well, you know why? Because he looks like him. He hasn't made an effort to chastise the chief or police down there, Mohawk, has he?
Have you made a phone call, Sam?
Yes, just to you, and I just heard about this morning.
All right, well, make a phone call. The number is 612-5112.
Okay.
Or call Francis Slay at 622-3201. We got to get involved in this.
Okay.
We have got to get involved in this.
All right. Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. Lindsay.
Good morning, my dear.
Good morning.
I just called, and I spoke to a secretary and gave her my displeasure at the mayor's office.
Okay.
So I wanted you to know that, so.
They're picking up. Their phones
now. I was put on hold for about 5 seconds, and I was able to speak to him.
Okay, so they're picking up their phones now.
Yeah, I think somebody must be listening to the radio.
Okay, because this is just madness. What did she say when you
said? She said, the young lady says, I'm also African descent.
Okay.
And she said, you know, she was forward, and she asked me exactly what was said, so
okay.
I repeated what was said.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
So,
then people need to start calling that 622-3201 number, 622-3201.
Yes,
all right, and call the 612-5112 number, because that's Kincaid's direct number.
Well, I'll call him later on today.
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right. Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. Mary.
Hi, Liz.
Yes.
When I called down, she was going to tell me that he didn't say it. I said, how did you know? Were you there? No. I said, well, then put my name down.
Who? The slave's
off? Whoever the secretary answered the phone. It was a little wait, but then when she came on, she said the doctor didn't say it because the mayor hired him. I said, so big deal.
Wait a minute.
That's what she said.
And was this a young woman of African descent?
I don't know. This one sounded like she could have been white. I don't know if she's black or white, but she said he did not say it. I want to leave my name anyway.
How do you know he didn't say it? What did she say?
She said he was hired by the mayor.
That was how she knew he didn't say it?
Exactly. I said, so what? Put my name down. She said, okay.
She has no business challenging you at all.
I told her to put my name down.
She had no business challenging you.
Yes. And one more thing, can I ask you?
You sure can.
Okay. I want to know what Mr. Joseph Boyd is doing over here. You know, he's coming up for election.
That's right.
And I meant to ask, I tried to get in to ask Irene. Can you tell us anything what's happening?
Okay, so tell me what you're asking in terms of...
Well, he's up for election. What have he done for the 22nd Ward?
I think that is a fair question to ask. I think that is an
absolute... If anybody know anything that he have done, please call the station tomorrow and let me know.
And here's the other piece of it. We have to ask the question of how far is he willing to step outside and support people of African descent. That's one measurement of it.
Well, he didn't beg... Reed.
Well, here's the thing, he needs to prove that he is backing Reed. Okay, he had a meeting, and he told Reed not to come to the meeting, and then had two Shrewsbury people advocating on the part of Shrewsbury.
Well, he's not gonna get my vote.
Okay, I mean, so you got to ask the question. Okay, if you support Reed, where's the evidence of it?
Thank you.
Where's the evidence of it? Because we should see Reed signs everywhere we see your signs.
That's what I'm talking
about.
People to know I don't see nothing he have done since he been in here.
You got to ask the question.
Okay.
All right, Mary. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I am outstanding.
I'm going to call that number, too. But I wanted to talk about something else that I heard, because it kind of, what you said about black people being shell-shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And to not saying anything.
I didn't say black people. I said some black people.
Some black people. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Some black people.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at watching a sports network yesterday, and a few of them. And Dungy got on talking about the first African-American, there'll be a first African-American football winner of the Super Bowl.
Both teams that are going to the Super Bowl are headed by African coaches.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And Dungy was explaining, all of them, it was okay because they was explaining why black people weren't coaches before.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the horrible thing Dungy and the other coach, because I really don't like him either, but I'm going for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Dungy and the other coach.
The Bears. Okay, go ahead.
Dungy and the other coach.
Mm-hmm.
They were explaining their bio on why they weren't coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Dungy got up there and said that he didn't, because there was never a black coach, and there's always been qualified blacks. And he got up there and stated that they weren't really directing it at African Americans. They were just used to hiring people that looked like Vince Lombardi. That's a white guy. My jaw dropped. He didn't go into the fact that they were hiring people over him, making statements, making him sit outside the doors for 6 or 7 hours. And
is Dungy the coach? There are two.
Dungy and Lovely.
Okay, and one of them, and I'm going to have a guest on tomorrow at 8:00. He is a writer and a columnist and an author that's going to be talking about this issue. And one of the things that's my understanding is that they are the lowest paid coaches. And one of them said, I don't want to get a raise. You don't have to give me a raise. And I'm wondering if that was Dungy.
No, that was probably the other coach.
Lovie Smith?
Yeah, Lovey Smith. That's probably him because he's the one that doesn't have a contract or anything.
Okay, I'm going to find... I'll find out tomorrow.
That is a statement that Dungy made.
I know. I hear you.
That was such a sucker statement.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, have a good day.
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. 150K a year? Oh, you got to be kidding me, Howard. We need to take a break. I need to take a breath, and we need to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. We got much more to talk about. Stay with me. Shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Do you feel confident about your money? If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member NASD SIPC. David Gaines, representative, Heartland Bank and Securities America are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Chained to the slave ships, for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip, for the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, pick the cotton, whose names have been forgotten, whose flesh has rotten with the trees they hung us from. Cut out our tongues.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. Otis, good morning.
Yes, I just finished talking to Dr. Kincaid, and the reason that it was important for me to talk to him, I thought, was because he once was in the very beginning of his work in St. Louis. Before he had a job, he worked as a volunteer at my little shelter over here in North St. Louis. And I was thinking to myself, inside of him, he did not deny that he made that statement.
He did not.
No, he did not. Not at all. As a matter of fact, he said, I wish we could get on with you know, with health care. And I was thinking to myself, you know.
Wait a minute. I got to slow it down just for a second.
Okay.
And let people know what we're talking about. Okay?
No,
people that may have just joined us. Irene J. Smith and myself reported this morning, because nobody else has reported, we broke this story this morning, that the head of the health department for the entire city of St. Louis, William Kincaid, said, and I quote, "The only people that drink Kool-Aid are niggers and poor white people." He said that out his mouth, that that's what was reported to us. And what you're saying right now, Otis, is that you called and talked to William Kincaid yourself, and he did not. He said, yeah, that's a statement I made.
He said, and when I told him the statement, he said, "People are always taking things out of context, Otis." I thought that you're saying that you said that.
You're saying
that what you mean is, you mean that somebody could take that out of context? That's plain as a nose on your face, what that means, you know. And you know, he was saying, "I wish we could get on, you know, beyond that."
Huh?
Yeah, and
huh?
I was saying to myself...
Huh?
I was saying to Liz astonishingly, but not really astonishingly. Liz, I know.
He said, "Let's move beyond that. Let's move beyond my racist statement, and trust me that you will get fair health care from a man who refers to African people with the N-word." That's what he's saying. Trust me that if I call you the N-word, if I call you out your name, I call you the N-word, trust me, I'm going to do right by you.
Exactly the conversation that I was in. And I was thinking to myself, you know, racism is so embedded that in everybody's private moment who I look at with a white face, I'm suspicious that in the bedroom, in the back room, at the moments when they tell these little jokes that they so anxiously want to get out of their chest, that is hidden down deep inside of so many. Racism is just alive. And as I say to people, it's even computerized now and blogged.
I don't want to get to everyone. I want to stay right here,
okay,
Otis. I want to stay right here,
all
Otis.
Right, stay there.
You talked to William Kincaid yourself this morning.
He didn't
deny making the statement.
No.
He said that somehow that the use of the of saying the word nigger can be taken out of context.
He said, "Oh, you know, Otis, everything you say like that is taken out of context, can be taken out of context these days."
Oh, so he's the victim.
In other words,
he's the victim.
Is that anything, any of the racial statements that are made nowadays.
In all fairness to William Kincaid, listening to Michael Richards, I understand that was taken out of context too, right?
You know.
That's taken out of He said it's... y'all need to call this man. His number is 6... You call that 62... 612 number?
Yeah, it's 620. It's 20 instead of 12.
Okay, say what the number is, Otis.
It's 621 6 5 220.
Okay, one more time, Otis.
621-5-5-2-2-0.
Are you sure that's the number?
Well, I know that the lady corrects it. I mean, they must be having calls there because they're correcting the calls. The one that I got from you, I called it, and the lady was right away ready to give me the other number.
Okay, well, I don't care. Then people can keep calling that number.
Tell them to call it. They're going to get to him. And
people are taking this out of context.
Yeah, and I just wanted you to know that he and I have a history together, and I was just amazed him knowing me that he could casual.
But you know what, Otis? I think that makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense because if he's that comfortable with you saying, ain't nothing wrong with me saying that, if he's that comfortable with you saying that,
No,
it's not about scaring anybody. It's about understand how comfortable he is with his staff. So imagine the abuse that his staff must be subjected to. If he was so comfortable with you saying, yeah, You know, yeah, I said that. You know, imagine what his staff must be going through.
I can't imagine.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Otis. 1-877-920-WGNU. You are on the wake-up call.
Yes, ma'am. That number is 612...
5112?
Yeah. That's the Commission of Health.
Okay.
That is the right number.
Okay.
I called it. She just answering on the internet. Keeps answering, but she don't say nothing ever. Call back. Call back.
So, okay, I say, wait a minute, no, don't go. Say again what happened.
I called there, and she said, call back.
Call back?
Yes.
What do you mean she
leave
said?
Leave your message, and I'll get back to you.
Is it a message, or was it an actual person?
No, ma'am, it's a messenger's on there. So
okay.
I call back, I'll get back to you.
Okay, so you called it. So you called them, I guess, so now they're not answering the phone.
No, ma'am, they're not answering. They just got the messages. I'll get back to you.
All right. Thank you for that number.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. This is the reason why the upcoming elections are so important, y'all. Francis Slay is one vote on ENA. Okay? His vote and Darlene's vote and Shrewsbury's vote decide how much money, where money is going to be spent in the city of St. Louis. Francis Slay has appointed a man to the health department that refers to African people as niggers. Doesn't deny it. We'll say it's taken out of context, but when you use the N-word like that, it's not being taken out of context. He used it in a work environment. He wasn't out kicking it with fellow Klansmen. He's not out there kicking it with that type of people that have that type of mentality. He is saying that in the work environment. So imagine if that man is cool with Francis Slay, imagine what kind of votes that you're getting for how your money is being spent on the ENA. That's why the election that's coming up in March is so critical, the election of Lewis Reed on the board of ENA. We got to make certain, because, I mean, the reality is, the honesty is, the accuracy is that Jim Shrewsbury votes with Francis Slay 98 to 100% of the time. What good do you think that does our community? What do you think, what good does that do the entire city of St. Louis? Francis Slay, or Jim Shrewsbury, votes with Francis Slay 98 to 100% of the time. What good does that do our community? Francis Slay stands silent in the face of a doctor, William Kincaid, who calls African people the N-word. And it lets him keep his job. Oh, there's business to tend to. You need to call Francis at 622-3201. 622-3201. Or call William Kincaid at 612-5112. That's 612-5112. This stuff has to stop. And you need to call your alder person, too, because they need to, at the next board meeting, which is tomorrow, they need to be on the floor demanding his firing. They need to be on the floor. This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. Every alder person should be outraged by this. Every alder person. You don't deny it. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to. End of the day on Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening and stay strong.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many.